97.5, The Fanatic. This is The Fanatic Postgame Show with Jenny Lynch
and Andrew Salchunas.
Presented by PropSwap
on 97.5, The Fanatic, Philadelphia.
Yes, yes, welcome in. Fanatic Postgame Show. I'm Andrew Salchunas right here on 97.5, The Fanatic. No Jamie Lynch today. Jamie enjoying the Halloween festivities with his beautiful daughter, so he's going to be doing some trick-or-treating, and I'm going to be here talking about a football game. I guess can we call it a football game? Is that what that was? 44-6, the clock ticking off right now, so the Philadelphia Eagles beat the Detroit Lions. They head to Detroit. They take care of business against Dan Campbell, the kneecap biter, and the Eagles pull off a win. So good for the birds. I'm happy about that. Everything seemed to work out. The ground game, how about that? We beg and yell and scream for the ground game, and you saw it, over 200 yards rushing for the Eagles today. Going over the rushing yards right now, Jalen Hurts, 7 carries for 71 yards, right? So 10.1 yards per carry. Boston Scott, the little man that can, 12 carries, 60 yards. He averages 5 yards per carry, scores 2 rushing touchdowns. Jordan Howard, back from the dead, 12 carries, 57 yards. That's 4.8 yards per carry. He also scores 2 touchdowns. I'll be honest, I've been asking for Jordan Howard to play for weeks now, and I haven't really understood the worth of Boston Scott on the field other than special teams. But I don't know. I look at it and I go, you can just get somebody else to play special teams. You could have somebody else can be a gunner. Like, let's be honest. But whatever, Jordan Howard gets a shot because of the injury to Miles Sanders. He looks fresh out there. Jonathan Vilma used the term fresh legs about 75 times today because he runs out of things to say. Kenneth Gainwell, 13 carries for just 27 yards. That's 2.1 yards per carry. And then Jalen Reagor actually got some touches. Unfortunately, he has to leave the game due to injury. But here's the deal. So obviously, when the Eagles make it, I don't know, where do you want to say, 17-0 or 24-0, whatever the score you want to say, when the game was pretty much over, the offense obviously simplifies. They run the ball, even though there was that one weird drive where the Eagles threw the ball 3 straight times. And at that point, like, yo, dude, just, Nick, keep running the ball. Not only is it working, just get out of here healthy, right? Who cares about Jalen Hurts' passing stats? Just hand the ball off and get to work and get out of here. But before it was really an absolute blowout, there were some things that you saw that you liked in terms of the offense and, of course, the defense. And I can't help myself but go, my God, this is what we talk about every single week. I'm not saying run the ball as much as you do every single time, right? They only threw the ball 16 times. They designed a few more pass plays, but Jalen Hurts tucked and ran. But 16 total passing attempts, doing quick math right now, 37, 44, 49 runs. 49 runs for the Eagles. Like, all right, I'm not asking for a run-pass ratio of 49 runs to just 16 passes. I'm not asking for that. But I'm asking for them to actually go under center sometimes, because not only will the run game may increase because if you're going under center, it may be better. It's also going to open up play action, all kinds of other stuff, right? Also, defensively, I saw Jonathan Gannon send pressure. I saw 5-man rushes. I saw 6-man rushes. And I'm not a big Jared Goff fan, but Jared Goff is at least a competent quarterback. But look, you got to him a couple of times, sacked him a few times, forced fumbles. It's not like Jared Goff looked comfortable at all out there. Now, could they throw the ball? No, because you had guys dropping wide open passes like Kadarrell Hodge, who did twice today. But you look at what the Eagles defense did. They brought pressure. They allowed the playmakers to try to make plays. Darius Slay, it is a return to Detroit, making it, having a nice little game today. Avante Maddox, a guy who was born and raised a Lions fan. Right? He was playing well today. Am I super excited going, go birds, fly, Eagles, fly? No, but you know what it was? It was fun to just sit back and watch the Eagles do things well. I put out a tweet earlier in the game. It was nice watching the opposing team have bad penalties, have dropped passes, have, you know, the quarterback getting sacked. And it was fun to watch my team, the Philadelphia Eagles, get sacks, force turnovers, complete passes, and run the ball. Like, all these things looked good for the Eagles. So I was happy about that today. And I'm sure everybody's kind of feeling the same way. All right, it was the Detroit Lions. Wasn't it 44-6? The Eagles beat the Cowboys way back when. It wasn't like that, right? It wasn't a 44-6 win against the Dallas Cowboys late in the season getting to the playoffs. No, It was a 44-6 win against an absolutely terrible, trash, stinky Detroit Lions team. And it's not like this Eagles team is using this win to propel themselves into the playoffs. But, again, a young team needs as many positive vibes as they can get, which is a couple of weeks ago, right? I remember being on here for the post game for the Carolina Panthers game. And there was people that were upset with me because I came on the air and immediately sort of not bashed the Eagles, but I pointed out all the negative things in a win. But it was still ugly that game. But ultimately, I said, no matter what I'm saying right now on the radio, none of that matters because I know that locker room is going crazy because they went into Carolina, a team that had three wins already at that point of the season. They were 3-1. Eagles go into Carolina. They have a hard, gritty, come-from-behind win in the second half. The defense played well. Jalen Hurts put the team on his back, had a couple of rushing touchdowns, had a couple of big runs to drive them downfield to get them the win. So they didn't care what I was saying in the locker room. A game like today, as bad as that Detroit Lions team is, listen, here we are. I go, good for the birds, good for the young guys, good for the veterans like Fletcher Cox and Jason Kelsey, who are clearly upset this week. I mean, Fletcher Cox last week straight up just called out his defensive coordinator and said that he doesn't get paid to play screens. He talked about how he can't be aggressive in this defense, right? Jason Kelsey had his helmet ripped off in the middle of the game, and I never saw anger out of Jason Kelsey before, but you're seeing frustration. Earlier this year, there was a play. It was one of the 5,000 screen plays the Eagles ran this year that didn't work, and Jason Kelsey just threw his arms up in the air. Right, so you're seeing the veteran players that were here for many successful seasons under Doug Peterson. Did it end the way we wanted it to? No, because look, they won a Super Bowl, new norm happened, and what was the new norm? It was pretty bad. But guys that have been here for a long period of time that had a lot of success, they're going through the big rebuilding year, and I can't even use the term rebuilding anymore, right? Because there's a lot of issues with this team. But a day like today was a good time, and we should all just have fun and enjoy it. It is Halloween, right? You're all going to go do your trick-or-treating and have a good time and continue to party. I'm sure there's people having Sunday parties. It's nice. I hope people watch that Eagles game today. I hope you took the birds to cover the 3 or 3.5. I know it was 3.5 yesterday. I think it went down to 3 at some point before kickoff. I saw a tweet from somebody that works with FanDuel Sportsbook, where like 86% of the money was coming in on Detroit moneyline, and 90% was coming in on Detroit to cover the +3. And I'm like, what? Get the hell out of here. There's no, like, I didn't feel like the Eagles were going to lose this game at all. Right? Like, that Detroit Lions team is trash. And I said it on Wednesday during Beers with Bob. Detroit, they did everything they could to beat the Rams last week, right? They did all the fake punts, fake field goals, fake this, fake that, going for it on fourth down. They did everything. Dan Campbell, the Cannibal, did absolutely everything he had in his playbook to try to beat that Rams team last week. They had no shot of being in that game last week against the Rams, but they had fun, they played hard, and look, they ended up winning. Or they ended up losing, but it was tight. I said on Wednesday, during Beers with Bob, that there's no way they win this game against the Eagles because that's that emotional loss where they gave it their all and they fall apart. And they could very well go 0-17 now. Like, they could lose out this season. So, I don't know if anybody was upset. I know a lot of people took the Lions, even Eagles fans. How dare you never bet against your squad because you're lying to yourself. You're not happy that they won today. You wish that you got your money. Plus, you probably wish that the Eagles got a better draft pick by losing the Detroit Lions, which that was discussed last week as well. And I kind of agreed with that, but there was no way they were going to lose this game. So if you want to jump in, Fanatic Post Game Show presented by PropSwap, you can jump in at 610-632-0975. It's a fun kind of post game show today because a game like that, where it's 44-6, where this season has not been a joy, right? Like, I know there were people that didn't watch the game today. I know that there are people that found other plans today. Because they go, all right, even if they win, it's just the Detroit Lions. But if they lose, I'm just going to be even more miserable. So I know a lot of people didn't watch. But at least you watched today and you saw a beatdown. At least it wasn't like you put on Eagles-Lions and the Eagles pulled out a 17-14 win. Like, no, they went in and they took care of business and they won 44-6. Was it more because the Detroit Lions are god-awful? Yeah, probably. But at least you got to have some joy watching Eagles football today. Was it good football? No. But you got to see your team, your jersey, your mascot, the Eagles, go in the end zone as much as they did today. So climb in at 610-632-0975. We're going to play all kinds of press conferences today. Normally, I just do Jalen Hurts, right? We hear from him for a few minutes, and we hear from Nick Sirianni, and then we'll play a few cuts from the other players. But in a game like this, you know those guys, just like I said about the Panthers game. They didn't give a damn what me or what anybody else was saying on the radio about how it was an ugly win in Carolina. All they know is that they went in to Detroit and won 44-6, and they're probably having a party because they hear all the noise, right? They hear, they see tweets, right? People tweet. How many times have you seen somebody tag a player in a tweet and it doesn't go well, right? They've seen the tweets, they've read the stories, they hear you on the radio, they see you on TV, they know all about it. They know how critical we've been of them this year, as we should, because they're not a good football team. But they're probably having a good time right now. So I can't wait to play some of the press conference, hear the initial reactions from the Eagles from the Eagles players with that 44-6 win. And I want to hear from you at 610-632-0975. Great job by Connor Thomas and Tyler Zuli during the in-game show today. They're talking about all kinds of things. It may have been more entertaining than the Eagles game, to be quite frank. Tom Alvord as well, producing the show today. Hey, Tom. How are you today, Tom? Did you have fun watching that Eagles game? I'm sure you did. It was an absolute blast.
Yeah, absolutely had fun. How can you not have fun?
I don't know. It wasn't 44-6 like the Eagles-Cowboys game from many years ago. It was 44-6 botany versus cannibalism, right? Yeah,
I saw that. That was a good one.
Mr. Plants versus Dan Campbell. Dan Campbell's not a good coach. I don't care how bad that team is. Dan Campbell's not a good coach. You can't have 12 men on the field happen multiple times. But it did. Like, they're just not a good team. I get it.
No, they're not a good team at all. I mean, I said it during the in-game show as well, the roundup. I know we're going to hear it a lot this week. It's just the Lions. I don't care, man. That was a win. I call it a must-win because I thought the locker room, there was a chance that you lose the locker room potentially if you lose this game. So must win, not in the sense of record-wise
or
wins-wise. Yeah, but must win and not lose that locker room. You saw different looks from Gannon. Sirianni actually remembered that he could run the ball.
Yep.
So, yeah, you can just say, hey, it's just the Lions. That was a big win. They got it done. See how they bounce back.
Here's the one thing. To me, it is just the Lions because I'll say this. The two games where I've seen Jonathan Gannon, defensive coordinator of the Philadelphia Eagles, bring pressure was against the Lions today. And it was against the Carolina Panthers, who have now lost, five straight? And so I look at this and I go, all right, maybe those games weren't that good. Oh, they beat the Falcons. Good for them. They came back and won 19-13 to improve to 4-4. But it was Sam Darnold at quarterback for the Carolina Panthers. So I need to see what did the Eagles do against Justin Herbert and the Chargers. Because they could very well lose 44-6 next week. And then it is definitely, it was just the Lions. But I get what you're saying. Like, Fletcher Cox was outwardly speaking about Jonathan Gannon. And Jason Kelce was obviously voicing his frustration. And I'm sure there were players speaking off the record to some reporters. And, you saw all of a sudden last week, you saw stories about the Chargers' current head coach, Brandon Staley, and how he turned down an interview with the Philadelphia Eagles because of Howie Roseman. Like, if they lost this game or if it was ugly in terms of they win like by three, more of those stories would come out. But it's not the case. Fortunately, it is a win, and it was a big one, 44-6 for the Birds. So we're going to have some fun today. Jump in at 610-632-0975. So let's start things off on the phones before we get to the press conferences. We'll hear from Nick Sirianni, Jalen Hurts. I'm sure we'll hear from some of the veteran players, including Darius Slay, who goes against his old team in the Detroit Lions and was able to score a touchdown on a fumble. Great punch out by Avante Maddox there. So some good things that we saw from the Eagles today. Let's go to Derek in Philly. Derek, you're on the Fanatic postgame show.
How you doing?
What's up, man?
I'm chilling, man. It was a good win today. I mean, it's just the Lions, but I'm just happy to be able to watch a game where we actually look decent. I don't care who we playing. I just wanted us to look good.
Yeah.
Be good today.
In recent weeks, Derek, the Lions, like the Eagles were the Lions in recent weeks, right? Against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Exactly.
And you're sitting there.
Yes.
You keep the game on because you're a great Eagles fan, right? But you're sitting there in the back of your mind, you're going, what the hell am I doing myself? Why am I still watching this? At least you were still watching this terrible product when it was your squad that was winning.
Yes. Right. So I was able to enjoy it. I didn't cheer though. You know, you can't cheer. You just got to just watch it and just examine, I guess.
Yeah, I wasn't pumping my fist. Like, I'm sure the only people that were really pumping their fists were those who had the birds and covered the three or the over for the away team's points. That might have been the only fist pumping going on today.
Yeah, I actually did cheer one time when I seen the sacks. Like, one of the sacks. I was like, oh, that was good. Like, Sweat, when he knocked over the tackle.
Yeah, that was a strong move. I wrote that down. That was a man move right there by Josh Sweat.
Yeah, I liked that one. I said, okay, oh, yeah, that was nice. But, you know, the Lions are corny, but I liked the Slay's performance today, too. I like Slay. Slay did good today.
Yeah, I mean, there's not much to not like about the Eagles today. But as we will say probably 1,000 times this week, it was just the Lions. And the real test will be this upcoming week against the Chargers. Justin Herbert is playing like a freak. This year, their offense has been great. Their defense has been far better than what it was in recent seasons. So, you know, we'll see. But again, at least you had fun today, right?
Yeah, I had fun today. It was a good game.
All right, well, that's awesome. Derek, enjoy the rest of your Sunday, man. Enjoy your Halloween. So, it is Eagles post-game show and Fanatic Eagles post-game show. But we do obviously have to keep an eye on the Indianapolis Colts because of that first-round draft pick. If Carson Wentz plays the 70% of the snaps and they make the playoffs, or 75% of the snaps at least. He just did something that I don't think he would recover in Philadelphia for. He just tried throwing a pass left-handed in his own end zone, and it was intercepted and returned for a one-yard pick six. There's a minute and a half left in the game. It was a tie game. They had the ball, and he just threw a left-handed interception. So the good news is he was playing well today, right? So because he was playing well today, they're obviously not going to bench him. He had three touchdowns. But that interception, that pick six, may very well drop them to 3-5 on the season. The Eagles improved to 3-5. So those these records could get you potentially three top 10 picks, because you got the Eagles 3-5, you got the Colts 3-5, and then obviously the Dolphins pick. So it's just one of those moments where I go, my God, I saw some throws. You know, you're watching the highlights from Wednesday where he made some throws where I was like, oh man, that looks good. But then he does that today. I can't believe he just did that. He threw a left-handed pick six from his own end zone. But that could be huge for the Eagles in the draft pick. Let's go back to the phones. Let's talk to the Breeze in Southern Cal. What's up? What's up, Breeze?
Yo, Tunis, what's good, man?
What's up, Breeze?
Dude, what a Sunday this was, man. We got the ladies in the kitchen smoking us some sausages for the late window games. The Birds won by 30. What a day, dude.
It was great.
Dude, it was awesome. Yeah, what a running game this was. We had... This reminded me of the three-headed monster we used to have with Buck Walter, Deuces, and Brian Westbrook, dude.
Buck Walter?
Hey, Buck Walter, you know. Buck Walter, yeah. Yo, dude, what a running... We don't even need Miles anymore, to be honest. Like, if we could flip him to get a quarterback or a linebacker down the stretch, we can make the playoffs.
Yeah.
Like, San Fran, I'm thinking... I came up with this with me and my buddies today. We're sitting around drinking the calls, watching a game out by the fire pit. And, like, I'm thinking, dude, we could flip Miles to... Brand for Jimmy G.
Yeah.
Jimmy G can get the ball to Devontae Smith at least.
How many calls you drink today?
Dude, I drank a couple cases of them I'm calling.
Damn right.
You know what I mean?
Damn right you did, Breeze.
Claws are flowing, baby. Barry, let's go, Breeze.
Keep drinking them claws, man. Keep drinking those claws. Thank you for calling into the Fanatic Post Game Show with your nonsense. I appreciate it. Yeah. Hey, the Eagles aren't making the playoffs, but we can, keep drinking them claws, man. That's all. All right, let's get a better call here. Patrick's in Detroit. Patrick, what's going on, man?
Hey, what's going on, man? I just want to say it was a great time. Great time with the family. We just randomly decided to go to Detroit to go to the game. So.
Oh, really? So you were there?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
My sister flew in from Texas and everything.
So how was it, man? I mean, there was, like, what, 75 people there? And you were a handful of them?
I'm going to be honest with you. The whole stadium was just about, like, Eagles. Every restaurant, bars, everywhere, Eagles fans. It was crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I was watching that game, and I'm like, my God, as much as we have bitched and moaned about the Eagles this year, even though we know it's not a season where we should have any high expectations, like, we know, like, 6 wins is the number that I have them at. I still get frustrated because you're looking for growth. There is no signs of positivity if you're a Lions fan right now. None.
Well, and the funny thing is we sat by some folks that are, they've said they were season ticket holders for like 8 years. I'm like, oh my gosh, you poor soul.
Did they consider selling them yet? Or can they not even make profit? Can they not make profit off them at this point?
I guess not. I just want to end the call on a E-A-G-L-E-S, Eagles!
You're the best, Patrick. Enjoy the rest of your day, man. Have a safe trip back. All right, we've got a Birds chant. I saw Fox did the broadcast, obviously, and they had the paper bag man, and he had on the paper bag, not a costume. So, you know, it could be worse. I'll just leave it at that. If we are, if we're being real here, as awful as this season has been to be an Eagles fan, because it's been frustrating, right? It's been downright frustrating. There hasn't even been something for you to sit back and go, wow, well, at least I can see the growth here, right? Like, Jalen Hurts didn't do anything special today, right? Yeah, he showed some flashes with his legs. He did, but he didn't do anything special, right? So it's not like I can come away from today going, well, at least you saw the glimpses of Jalen Hurts and how he's your franchise quarterback moving forward. No. And you haven't really been able to do that all season long. You haven't been able to get excited about the future with Miles Sanders. He didn't even play today. And look, they finally run the ball. I saw a ton of great memes of Miles Sanders or how Miles Sanders should be reacting. So we're getting our first press conference in right now. Again, it's going to be a fun day today because the Eagles fans, those players, they should be excited in that locker room, 44-6. Let's hear from tight end number one, Dallas Goedert.
You know, he played well, had that forced fumble late. So there's a lot of cool things. Really happy for him to be able to get a big win back in the city.
What was it like getting the running game going? Kind of like, how did that kind of help you out early in the game especially?
Yeah, it was cool. You know, the running backs did a hell of a job today. You know, it didn't matter if they were getting hit in the backfield, they were still falling forward for five. So, you know, that was really cool. Great job by them. And, you know, being able to run the ball like that, we were able to get our play action. Be able to find some soft spots in the zone, getting the linebackers to step up because we were able to run the ball so well.
Yeah, on this, you had two catches off play action downfield. What do you? I mean, is it just the linebackers moving up, or what do you notice to freeze up space for you in those zones?
Yeah, you know, it's when they see the run, they step up, the linebackers step up, and then they see that it's passed and they're scrambling to get back, and you just got to kind of know where they're going to drop in their zone and find the dead spot and just be a target for the quarterback.
Almost half the targets in the pass game today. What's this like for you, being able to be, you know, featured?
You know, I love it. You know, like I said, I think the running backs did a great job helping set stuff up. You know, Jalen did a great job finding me, and, you know, I can always take as many targets as I'll get. I love catching the ball. I feel like I do a great job at it, and I can make plays with the ball in my hand. So, you know, anytime I get that opportunity, I want to make the most of it.
2 games in now, with you being the guy, do you feel like you're able to get into a little bit better rhythm, not coming in out of the game?
Yeah, I feel great out there. You know, just from being able to help the team run the ball to being the guy running the routes, catching the ball, you know, I feel like I've stepped up to the job that I was given, and, you know, I'm just excited to keep growing with this team.
On the trick play, was that the design for Jalen to find you, and what did you get Kenny's throw to Jalen?
Yeah, that was the design. You know, I kind of buy my way through, set like I'm run blocking and then work my way across the field. And, you know, I look back for the ball and I saw Jalen jumping up one hand in it. And, you know, I was impressed right there. And for him to be able to get that throw off and be able to catch it and do what we did there, it was pretty cool. You know, it was just the ball was going our way today.
It's kind of funny.
All right, well, there's Dallas Goedert. Talking about his production during the game today. Which, and listen, Dallas Goedert is a hell of a tight end. And I'll forever say it, right? It was probably not the right pick at the time, right? How many times do we have to hear that, right? Jalen Hurts, probably not the right pick at the time because you had other needs that you could have addressed and you already had a quarterback here. Same with Dallas Goedert. Years ago, Zach Ertz was still in his prime And I get it. You had two very, very good tight ends here at the same time, but it's not the direction of the league anymore. The league was becoming a vertical kind of offense, right? And you had Dallas Goedert here as opposed to Zach Ertz and then a bunch of speed. But Dallas Goedert is clearly, clearly a very talented tight end. And he was just kind of waiting until Zach Ertz wasn't here anymore. And you can make the case that he was tight end number one before Ertz got traded. But Ertz still being here obviously got a lot of attention. But Dallas Goedert is turning into a hell of a player. And he's had some angry touchdowns, some angry plays. Kyle Brandt on the NFL Network does the angry runs, right? There was one I still remember this year where he literally had a defensive back on his back and he threw him down with one hand and continued to run. So Dallas Goedert turning into a hell of a player. Did the pick make sense at the time when you already had a tight end and you weren't thinking about moving Zach Ertz? No, it didn't, but he could be a guy moving forward. A lot of targets today. Seems like he's one of the favorites for Jalen Hurts. And you missed him. When he was out because of COVID, you clearly missed him. And not that him coming back is going to change the season, right? We had my man Breeze on from South California saying that this could be the beginning of the push to the playoffs. I know that call was definitely fraudulent, but whatever. Dallas Goedert comes back, and he's obviously a big piece for Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts doesn't really go downfield all that much, especially when he's rolling out of the pocket. He can find Dallas Goedert. It was nice that they ran that little trick play today. They clearly had some fun, Nick Sirianni in the offense. And you heard it in Dallas's voice there. He's excited. He's having a good time. And that's why I kind of said it coming into the show today. Normally, I only air Jalen Hurts because you always hear from the starting quarterback, even if it's only for a few minutes because we get tired of all the cliches. Then we hear Nick Sirianni. But I want to hear from the other players today because it was a fun win for the Eagles. Was it a good win? Was it a good football game? Ultimately, no, it wasn't. But it was a fun game, and I'm glad that it was our team that was doing the beatdown. Here's Boston Scott, who, hey, he was running back number one today, finished with two touchdowns. Here he is talking after the game.
I'm leading up to this moment, and, you know, I think we did a good job going out there, things to correct, things to, you know, improve on. But overall, we're committed to helping the team. That's all we want to do.
Why was the running game when you guys were preparing for this game, why was the running game so prevalent in your game plan?
Wanted to be physical, you know what I mean? We just want, that's what we had in our mind going through the week. So whenever we got out there and saw, you know, productive runs, staying ahead of the sticks, you know what I mean? Just being productive in the run game that warrants more opportunities. And so, you know, that's kind of what it was.
What were those first 6 weeks of the month really not getting off?
I'm a competitor, you know what I mean? But I'm still going to show up every day and work, you know what I mean? I'm not going to let, you know, myself and what I want, you know, to like negatively impact the team, you know what I mean? So if I wasn't getting reps, whenever I was going to help out on the scout team, I was playing receiver, you know, I'm playing running back, whatever I needed to do to help this team until my opportunity came, you know what I mean? So that's what I was committed to. Like I said, at the end of the day, I want to help this team in whatever way I can. I've been on the scout team before. I was a walk-on, you know what I mean? So I just continued to work, knowing that my opportunity was going to come, and then also having, you know, coaches around, you know, to help me, to continue to motivate me, but I was just committed to just keep working, man. Put your head down, you know, because it's easy to get frustrated and caught up in the circumstances, you know what I mean? But opportunity comes, you know, and you're frustrated and whatever, you know, you might miss it, you know? And so just staying locked in, continuing to work is, you know, and being patient is important.
So from a personal level, Boston, how do you fend off that frustration? Because you said you were walk-on before, you've been through it, but you've also been successful since then. So how do you get back in that mindset?
I just think it's patience, man, and really, really putting things into perspective. You know what I mean? I think, you know, every time you take a step on that field, it's a blessing. You know, if you look at it as an opportunity, if you look at it in that positive light, you know, it can definitely help your perspective. You know what I mean? If you think that you're entitled to this, entitled to that, and then we all battle with that type of thing. You know, you're a competitor. You know, you did this or whatever. You know what I mean? But as I talked about in the offseason, each year is a new year. You got to earn it. You got to prove it, you know, each year. That's all it is, point blank, period. You know what I mean? You can either, you know, take that as however, or you can use it as motivation, personally, whatever. You know what I mean? So That's what it is.
Just the physicality.
I mean, I think it definitely can be a morale breaker. You know what I mean? Just stop us. You know what I mean? That's just stop us. You know? If you don't, we're going to keep doing it.
You and Jordan obviously had to wait your turn. Did it help having him to lean on, and did he lean on you as well?
I feel like we all leaned on each other. You know what I mean? We all lean on each other, man. That's what it's all about. You know what I'm saying? And like I said, at the end of the day, what we're committed to is helping out this team. You know what I'm saying? And so we just work every day, whether it's on scout team, like getting reps with the starters, with the ones. It don't matter, man. We love the game of football. We're competitors. We believe in ourselves. But most of all, we want to help this team.
All right, well, there's Boston Scott. At least it's a fun story, right? So they talked about it. They asked him about not getting the touches that he's gotten in the past when he's been successful, right? Boston Scott is putting together a decent NFL career. Is he going to be remembered nationally? Of course not. But he's this little dude that just finds his way into the end zone or finds his way to have good games. Today, 12 carries, 60 yards, and 2 touchdowns. And how about Jordan Howard, who's just been sitting on the practice squad all season long, comes out today, 12 for 57 and 2 touchdowns. So the two of them combining for over 100 yards rushing on 24 carries. So that's cool to see. So that's Boston Scott. We've heard from Boston Scott. We've heard from Dallas Goedert. We're going to hear from a whole bunch of players following the Eagles' 44-6 win over the Detroit Lions. This weekend's programming is brought to you by Mercedes-Benz of Fort Washington, Westchester, and Atlantic City, online at yourmercedes.com. The number to jump in is at 610-632-0975. We're reacting to the Eagles' third win of the season. They beat the Lions, as I mentioned, 44-6, improving to 3-5 on the year. Detroit falling to 0-8. Was it ugly for Detroit? Of course it was, but for once, it wasn't us. For once, we got to have some fun watching an Eagles game. Jump in, 610-632-0975. I'm Andrew Salchunas, and this is the Fanatic Post Game Show.
97.5, The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic. Now, back to the Fanatic Postgame Show.
With Jenny Lynch and Andrew Salchunas. Presented by PropSwap.
On 97.5, The Fanatic, Philadelphia.
Yes, welcome back. Fanatic Postgame Show. Presented to us by PropSwap. No Jamie Lynch show. He's, he had kids. So, you know, he's got to do the trick-or-treating thing. So shame on Jamie for, procreating and needing to do some fatherly duty. So hope Jamie has a good time today dressed up as Woody. If you saw the photos on Friday from the John Kincaid Show Twitter account and you lost sleep, don't worry, you're not alone. No, he looked good. He looked good in the Woody costume. But here we are, Fanatic Post Game Show, reacting to a 44-6 Eagles beatdown of the Detroit Lions. You've heard from Dallas Goedert and Boston Scott, who clearly had a good time today. You're going to hear from Nick Sirianni in a few minutes. Listen, I'm not going to credit Nick Sirianni for putting together some elaborate scheme, some incredible game plan. I don't think his words of wisdom regarding plants is the reason why the Eagles won. But I will say it's nice after a week where he just got completely ripped and 65% of the city of Philadelphia was either Nick Sirianni with the visor and the markers and the clipboard. And then the other 20% of the city of Philadelphia was a plant. And then the other 15% was other. 85% of the city of Philadelphia, their Halloween costume was something related to this week in Philadelphia. And it was either Nick Sirianni or a plant. And, you know, run the ball and all that kind of stuff. So the guy became somewhat of a joke this week. And he got his team to rally together and play. I don't want to say the term rally together because that's how bad the Detroit Lions are, but he was able to rally the team together. after a week where players were speaking out about the coaching staff and they got the win 44-6. They had a good time. And I'll say this. Before, it was a complete and absolute beatdown of the Lions. Like, when it was still 17-0 at halftime, I did like some of the things I saw offensively. Now, I can't help but go, why did this take 8 freaking weeks to happen? Like, I saw plays with pre-snap motion. I've been asking for jet sweeps on this team for weeks now. Do I think Jalen Reagor, and I hope he's okay, he had to get carted off the field today. Do I think Jalen Reagor is some game-changing player? No. But there's clearly a way you can utilize him that's better than what has been in his year and a half in the NFL. Did he score a touchdown last week on a quote-unquote jump ball? Yeah, sure. That was when 3 Raiders players collided with each other, and he was the only one that was left standing. He caught the ball and scored a touchdown. But there was also a play earlier this year where it resulted in a pass interference. But if you remember, he was on the left side of the line. They ran a pre-snap motion. He goes around Hurts and then turns and cuts up field and just goes 100 miles per hour because he does have speed. He's very quick. He's very fast, Jalen Reagor. And Hurts underthrew him. Remember, it led to a pass interference, but it was one of those plays where the right throw leads to a touchdown. Because I love the play design when Sirianni did that, but it seems like it's only like 1 or 2 plays a week where I'm taking down notes and saying, like that play right there, and then I jot down what happened, right? Today, I put the pen and paper down at halftime. I knew that the Lions were going to come out in the second half and make it a ball game, especially when their idiot head coach had a 4th and inches and decided to have Jared Goff drop back 8 steps, and, you know, it resulted in a sack and a turnover on downs, and the Eagles just need the ball and go into halftime. There's no way the Lions were going to come back from that. But before the blowout really happened, there were things that I liked. I liked some of the pre-snap motion. I liked that they ran the ball under center. Now, could they do whatever they wanted today against this team, this Detroit Lions team? Yeah, sure. They definitely could have. But it was nice to see things that it took 8 weeks to see. And maybe this was just one of those games where Nick thought he could do anything. Like, maybe that crossed his mind. He goes, you know what? I think we could do a couple of things on the ground against this team. We can run some trick plays against this team. And maybe, just maybe, just maybe, not to the point where our second call of the postgame show said this could be something that pushes them to the playoffs. No, I obviously don't think that. But just maybe, this is something where the vibe in the locker room is a little bit different. And Tom Alvord is producing the show right now. He produced the in-game show with Connor and Tyler. He talked about it, that it wasn't a must-win game in terms of record, in terms of win-loss, in terms of playoffs. It was a must-win to try to keep the locker room intact. And maybe, just maybe, a fun win like that. And you've heard so far from 2 players, Dallas Goedert and Boston Scott, which we played last segment. They seem to be uplifted a little bit. And they talked about the trick play where Hurts pitches it to Gainwell, who throws it back to Hurts, and then Hurts finds Dallas Goedert. Was it the best pass and throw? No. Hurts got hit as he threw. Dallas Goedert was clearly held by the linebacker, but it was a nice play. It got you 15 yards. It got the team probably buzzing a little bit. Boston Scott was literally averaged 5 yards per carry today. That's awesome. So, I don't know. Do I think Sirianni figured it out today? No. And I hope they don't go back to what they have been doing this season next week against the Chargers. Like, I hope that Jonathan Gannon, who I've seen bring pressure twice all year now, and it was against Jared Goff and Sam Darnold, you were able to do that against other players, against other quarterbacks. Jalen Hurts, did he look great today? No, but he didn't have to. He was able to run the ball. Speaking of Jalen Hurts, here he is right now.
The line of scrimmage for most of the game, and that's what we just saw. We can do that. So we want to be consistent with that moving forward. Defense played they played their ass off. They got turnovers and sacks. Made big time plays throughout the whole game. So it's a great team win.
Could you guys play today before
Monday's off? I think we just want to continue to grow, right? You know what I'm saying? We have a 24-hour rule on everything, wins and losses. And we've come out through this season, and we've played different type of football in a lot of these games. And I think that has been figuring out the identity of who we are. You know what I'm saying? Probably going to ask me, what is the identity? And I think the identity is just continue to mesh all of these great things we have, this melting pot of being able to throw the ball, being able to run the ball, being able to be an effective offense and whatever it is we choose to do. So we just want to continue to be efficient, but in the end, you want to put points on the board, and we did a good job of that today, and we won the game.
Nick mentioned the preparation this week and how much the intensity picked up. Did you notice the difference? Did you see more intensity, and why do you think there was?
I think we all challenge each other. Coaches challenge the players. Players challenge the coaches. Come together and raise the standard of what we want. And I think when you have those things, when you go through things, when you have to overcome adversity, you find out who you really are. And we're in a situation where we're overcoming things, and we want to take this as a stepping stone for us and continue to build.
What did you learn about Jordan and Boston today? Just the fact that, you know, these guys barely played, you know, first Jordan's on practice squad, Boston hadn't played the first 16.
Yeah, nothing's really a surprise to me. You know, it's a testament to the hard work that they put in and the patience they've had to, you know, wait for the opportunity to come, like a game today. And what a job they did of taking advantage of it. You know, they came out, they played well, toted the rock, yards after contact. I mean, they did a hell of a job.
You had some dynamic scrambles today. You know, did you feel it was necessary to take off in this situation?
Yeah, I think I could have hit one to Smitty, threw it a little outside. Always things to improve on, you know what I'm saying? We had runs in the run game that we probably could have been home run hitters a block away. So there's always room for improvement in every area of our games, and we're going to continue to try and get better. You know, we took a step from last week to this week. They did a better job of eliminating mental errors, got out of the huddle quicker. We're very efficient as an offense and as a defense and special team. So overall, it's a great team win, and we want to build off of it.
What's your name?
It's an age.
Houston or Murray?
Whatever you want it to be.
What does it say about Nate Herbig? You guys had such a run-heavy game. He comes in after a really early injury. You guys don't seem to beat.
Oh, great. Nate is he's a hell of a player. You know what I'm saying? He's came in last year and played his tail off. And held his own and was really one of the top guards of his position. And came in last year and played a lot of left guard. He's come in this year, played some left guard, and now he's at right guard. But he's a guy that can do it all. He can play center as well. So I got a lot of love for Nate and his ability and his commitment to the team. Being a little, you know, Swiss Army knife and being able to do it all.
Are you okay throwing on 14 times? You know, because that's the way it's
okay with winning. I say the same thing every week.
Tell us about the throwback from Kenny. You didn't tell us you were a receiver, too.
I didn't realize I caught it with one. It just kind of happened, I guess. But, I've kind of been through, you know, the downs and the ups. And I don't really care about anything else but winning.
And so you said you guys can build more. What specifically do you want to take from this game that you can apply?
I think it's deeper than the outcome of it, right? You see the outcome of a game, and like I said, a pretty dominant win. But it's in the preparation, how we challenge each other this week, how we upheld the standard. Now it's another challenge moving forward, doing that again this week, going into a home game versus a really good team in the Chargers. So. Be ready to play, you know what I'm saying? Build off of it. But our head down, we ready to go to work, enjoy it on the way home and for 24 hours and move on for the next one.
With the coaches and players challenging each other, what does that look like with players challenging coaches, I guess, during the course of the week? When does that happen?
I think it's to every root in a relationship, you know what I'm saying? You got to have great communication. You got to have belief and trust in everybody. Around you, and that's something that we're getting better at, and we've grown to come closer in, and that determines success of a football team. So we just want to continue to build, lean on one another, trust one another, go out there and make plays for one another, and know at the end of the day, I know I'm gonna go out there and play my butt off for the guy next to me. You know, because we put it in, we put the work in, you know what I'm saying, we can't really be result oriented. You got to focus on the process and focus on what it takes to get there. So we've had a lot of opportunities. I've said it all year thus far, a lot of opportunities to learn from every game, good, bad, or indifferent. And we'll have that same mindset moving forward and truly coming together and continue to rise up. We just want to continue to rise up and attack everyone in front of us.
Good. Thanks, Jalen.
All right, there he is, Jalen Hurts. In his final answer there, he mentioned roots and growing. So maybe he's bouncing off the entire plant analogy from Nick Sirianni there. But that's what I'm trying to say, right? So I open up the show. That game was ugly. The Detroit Lions are a god-awful football team, and they should not be in the NFL. I'll touch on more coming up in a little bit, but I want to hear from this. It was a very, very touching pregame show today. Lane Johnson with Jay Glazer, an incredible sit-down interview regarding Lane and everything that's been going on this season. Here's Lane Johnson, I believe speaking first time to Philadelphia media following his personal absences, his battle with depression and anxiety, and, of course, after today's Eagles win.
And that's really something, football wasn't even a question at the time. It was something that I felt even before the season, some of the stuff I was feeling. And I didn't really tell a few close friends, but really kept it bottled up because I felt ashamed of it. I felt like it was a crutch. But, you know, coming back, the support I've had from the team, from my friends, from my family, I mean, I couldn't ask for nothing better. And getting out here and playing football again is, you're reminded how lucky you are to be in the position that you are. And so taking it day by day.
Can you explain, what your medication status is now? Are you on a different medication? Was it, a levels thing? What does it do?
Yeah, so basically going from something that takes time to build in your system and then thinking that you're, tapering off the correct way, and I wasn't. So I went from a very, mediocre dose to nothing. And so pretty much the side effects is, it's almost like you had the flu. A lot of nausea, a lot of vomiting. And it's something that stays. It doesn't go away. And that's what I was... really what I was dealing with. And so, when I got back, I got the help that I needed and moving forward, just playing. Man, I enjoy playing football. I enjoy the people I'm around. I enjoy the community that I'm around. You know, it's one thing about this city, you know, Kelsey was talking about it's easy to play here, but just be raw, just be real. Yes, that's what I dealt with. It was terrible. I don't wish it on nobody. But moving forward, I don't want sympathy, man. I got tons of friends. I got tons of help. And now I just want to focus being the best right tackle that I can be.
Who are some of the people who have been able to help you through this?
Really, everybody on the team. Brandon especially, I think he can relate to it maybe more than me. So it's really difficult to describe, the people that felt, quote, normal. Really everybody. The coaching staff, Coach Sirianni, Dom. Those guys have always, especially Dom, has had my back, ever since I've been here. A lot of stuff has transpired through 9 years. So, having that back is critical. And, today was a good day.
What is the message that you would have for people that suffer from the same type of thing?
I guess the real message is just don't bottle it up, and it's easy to do that. It's easy to avoid the situations that you don't want to go through, something that's going to be difficult. So I guess.
Did you kind of hide this from Brandon when he was going through it?
No, you guys. No. Brandon's me and Brandon pretty much have a very similar condition.
Yeah.
My stuff started ever since my first year in college in JUCO. And I didn't know, I wasn't educated in the matter at the time. When I got to OU, that's when I was, officially diagnosed. So, I've dealt with this for a long time, so. But
what was it, you obviously mentioned medication, but how tough was it that, what was it about that morning besides that?
It was really the week leading up to it.
Yeah.
It's, I don't want to compare it to other withdrawal symptoms, but it's right up there, and that's what I was going through. So I got help from that, and really.
You just to clarify, you said you thought it was like a crutch. Is that why you kind of weaned yourself off of it?
Yeah, I was trying to. Yeah, to be honest. So, yeah, really, that's what it was. I guess pride, let your pride get in the way. That's really at the end of it.
What does it say about the level of respect this team has for you and your teammates have for you? And obviously, it's kind of hard to keep something quiet in Philadelphia. What does it say about the ability to keep your privacy?
Well, the bad news is that I think a lot more people have it than what it meets the eye. I think it's easy to put on a poker face. You know, in life, just in general, I mean, it's easy to do that. So, yeah, but really, just talking about it.
No, like, you don't feel like I'm ready to come back.
Say it again?
What made you feel like you were ready to come back?
My body felt normal. I wasn't going through the withdrawal symptoms that I was. And so something that was going on for, you know, really close to 2 months. So, yeah. That was the key factor.
Now that you are back, I mean, does it kind of give you a different perspective, you know, playing football and everything after leaving Montrose?
Yeah, I guess I just laid it out all on the table. I mean, that's a really genuinely how I felt. I mean, what I'm saying to you is what I've said to a lot of people and to everybody. So
you're a really important person, you know, you're a really important player on this team. How important is it winning here today? Do you think this could be construed as kind of a statement game for your franchise going forward?
I don't know about statement game. It was a good game. I think the stretch we have coming up, we got to really just attack it like we did this week. I think we had an excellent run game today, and that was as an offensive lineman, that's a lot of fun getting to do that, getting the fire off the ball.
Was it overdue in your opinion? I mean, you guys have shown the capacity to be productive when you've been given the chance to run block and run the ball. Do you think that maybe this coaching staff is learning the strengths of this team after 7 or 8 games here?
Yeah, I think, I mean, really, when you go back and look at it, it's, you know, you start off how you want to in Atlanta, and then you get kind of stale. But when you go and look at the situations, you get down in those games, you're going to throw the ball. I mean, much like today, Detroit, you get behind, you know, 14, whatever. You get in those situations, it is what it is. It becomes a passing game. The game changes.
Were you one of the guys that went to Nick on the sideline, offensive line, and said, hey, let's keep running it. We feel like we're winning off
today?
Yeah, he said that some of the guys came in.
Yeah, I just think really from the jump, I guess you could see it, how it was going to go, and it kept becoming, I guess, the most consistent that we've had so far this season. And so I just kept fueling it, I guess.
Was the ankle a complicating factor? Your ankle, was that a complicating factor at all throughout this?
Yeah, I mean, it was a tough issue dealing with. I mean, for the past 2 years, but today I felt good. I mean, I've been feeling pretty good for the most part. So,
Lee, that Sunday, did you drive back to Oklahoma?
Yeah.
Can you just help explain what was going through your mind at that time, and then how you ended up kind of coming back in that process as much as you can?
Yeah, I told my mom, I told my dad, I said where I was at. So. It wasn't an enjoyable thing. I didn't, you know, a lot was going through my head. And, yeah, really for the duration of that time, a lot was talked about. So, yeah, I mean, playing last week, playing this week, I'm just looking forward to the Sunday stacking up.
There's going to be incredible pressure with having that disorder. How can football now kind of be a release for you? Is it kind of helping you?
Yeah, but I think a lot more people suffer. I remember hearing a stat at the combine that most 40-50% of people in this type of in the NFL have some sort of condition. At the same time, you know, it can do a lot of things for you, but a lot of times it can become detrimental.
You mentioned earlier that you encourage people who are dealing with things like this to don't bottle it up. So how good did it feel for you to, you know, make that announcement and, you know, draw awareness to something like this?
Yeah, I just felt, you know, coming from the heart. I mean, I didn't really want to I wanted to do this. I wanted to do the deal with Jay. Even in the interview, there was more detail, like what I'm talking about today, what I was dealing with, what I was feeling. That was all covered. It was probably left out, but I just wanted to remove all questions. Moving forward, just keep stacking games and winning games. That's the most
important. What was the message from your parents when you were talking to them on that Sunday? What were they telling you?
I mean, they were behind me. They were concerned, but I knew what I had to do, and they were behind that. So,
what's the question? You said the pressure's applying at this level. I know it affects not just you in that locker room and Brandon, probably more guys. Does the NFL need to do? I mean, does there need to be more done about this from the league and teams to help everybody?
Yeah, I just think. I don't know if you truly look in the mirror and you truly and don't try to dismiss things. I think a lot, the whole message is communication and working through that and just putting your pride aside and doing that. So,
but I've known you for 9 years and kind of seen you and all the guys, seen you kind of your highest moments here. Mm-hmm. How much has this been affecting you behind the scenes without us or the public knowing about it?
Well, much, mine and Brandon's situation may be a little bit different, but a lot of it's very similar. So a lot of stuff when he was going through it, I understood because, you know, he talked about how he puked every game day. I mean, I was right there with him, 5:30. So, he was probably the main guy to help, with this situation. And I think how he handled it was phenomenal. And I think he was liberated from it and so that was really it.
All right, there he is, Lane Johnson. Obviously really appreciate him taking the time, talking about it. He straight up said it. There's a lot of people that hide it. There's, everybody, I think, knows somebody that deals with extreme anxiety or depression or both. So really appreciate Lane Johnson speaking at length about what he was going through, what he knows Brandon Brooks went through, and his personal battles. And obviously it's more than just football, right? The Eagles won 44-6 today. But he took the time to speak for quite a while regarding his situation. And of course we all wish him nothing but the best. I forget who it was. Somebody asked an incredible question. What does it say to this organization that didn't get out? Because you know what it is. We're all hungry and thirsty for information, especially in a major market like Philadelphia. And he was out for a long time, and nobody caught wind of it. Nobody knew exactly what it was. So incredible work by Lane Johnson there, speaking to the media. We're going to continue Fanatic postgame show as I take you until 7 o'clock. Something from Jalen Hurts. I was going to talk about it, but then Lane came up, and obviously it's the first time he spoke to our reporters and the local media here in Philadelphia, so that obviously had to be aired. So I will talk about that more coming up, as well as something that Jalen Hurts said at the end of his press conference, and we still have Nick Sirianni to hear from after the Eagles' 44-6 win. I'm Andrew Salchunas, and this is the Fanatic Postgame Show.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic. Back to the Fanatic Postgame Show
with Jamie Lynch and Andrew Salchunas. Presented by PropSwap
on 97.5 The Fanatic, Philadelphia.
Yes, Fanatic Postgame Show right here at 97.5 The Fanatic. I'm Andrew Salchunas. No, Jamie Lynch. He's taking care of the trick-or-treating duties with his lovely daughter. So I hope Jamie has a good time. He did tweet out that he is wearing the Woody costume that he wore on Friday during the John Kincaid show, and he just looked absolutely spectacular in that costume. So I hope Jamie's having a good time.
I'm a big Woody.
Oh, Yeah, I had nightmares Friday night after seeing that. It was a great look though. So now it's me solo here. Tom Alvord producing the show as we react to the Eagles' 44-6 win over the Detroit Lions. It was a game where I don't even know if the Lions showed up. I don't even know if those players were actually on their game day roster. That may have just been, you know, guys off the streets that just came in and stole the jerseys and decided to play. Like, that was Jared Goff for sure, but everybody else, I don't think so. I think those were all just like guys off the street that decided to show up and try to play for the Lions, because that was just absolutely ugly. 44-6 win for the Eagles. So that's where we're at right now. It was ugly. It was a bad football game, but the players in the locker room are happy. You've heard so far in the postgame show, we've played Dallas Goedert, who spoke to the media. He was the first one. Then Boston Scott, who I thought was tremendous when he was asked about having previous success for not just in the NFL, but for the Philadelphia Eagles, and then losing basically all of his touches, right? And I understood, right? Miles Sanders was going to be your number one back. Kenneth Gainwell, you drafted him for a reason. I just didn't think that those guys wouldn't get touches either, which they really haven't been up until this week. And then Miles Sanders goes down. I thought Kenneth Gainwell would be slid in as the running back one today, but no, they make Boston Scott the starting running back, and he was tremendous, and he did a great job. And he's very humble, and he spoke about how he's just ready to play, and he's going to do whatever he can for the team. He's lined up in the past at wide receiver for the scout team, so he's done a lot for the Philadelphia Eagles, not just on game day, but also leading up to games. So I appreciate Boston Scott, and I thought he did a good job today. And Dallas Goedert talked about the trick play, and obviously they look like they're having fun. Jalen Hurts. Now, Tom, did you get that Hurts cut? I don't want to put you on the spot. Not yet. Okay. We've been playing all kinds of press conferences, and there is something from Jalen Hurts, and I'll touch on it right now before we even play the cut, and we'll get to that later. But you could just hear in his voice. And in recent weeks, if you listen to Jalen Hurts speak, he's been down, right? Like, you know, I got to do a better job. I got to play harder. We all got to work together and all kinds of stuff, right? And you could tell he's been beaten up. And even though he only attempted 14 passes today, and he was asked about it, and he said, I'm just happy we got the win. Even though he only attempted 14 passes today, you know, he was in higher spirits, and you could hear it just in his voice. So we'll play that coming up in a little bit. We'll also play Nick Sirianni, his post-game press conference. There's things about Sirianni that I want to talk about. We'll go around the league at some point later on this hour, because a lot of things has transpired. I talked about it early on because we're obviously watching the Indianapolis Colts and what's going on there because of that first round draft pick. We're watching the Miami Dolphins as well. Carson Wentz threw an interception in his own end zone left-handed, which was returned for a touchdown, but then he was able to drive downfield and was able to get the Colts back into overtime. But a lot more happened after that, so we'll talk about that later on this hour. You can jump in right now at 610-632-0975. Let's go back to the phones, talk to Andrew in Phoenixville. Andrew, you're on the Fanatic Post Game Show. What's up, Andrew?
Good afternoon. How are you?
Great. How are you?
Doing well. It was a good game. I'm not too impressed with the win because obviously it's the Detroit Lions. I don't know how much confidence they can build off this win going into next week against the Chargers. And honestly, I just feel like, you know, it almost seemed like a practice to them because everything was going right their way. I think in the first half, they didn't have any penalties at all. Not sure if they had.
They ended up getting one defensively. Steven Nelson got the first flag. And I forget if that was late in the second or early in the third quarter.
So, honestly, you know, I'm not sure if there's much to build on heading into next week. Yeah, it was a great win. But Detroit is the laughing stock of the NFL. I feel bad for Detroit because it seems like they haven't had a really good team since, what, Barry Sanders, maybe? I bet Matthew Stafford is counting his blessings.
Oh, he's thrilled.
Traded. And Jeffrey Goff, I feel bad for him because he just does not have an offense. And, you know, it's unfortunate there has to be a bad team that everybody laughs at. I just, you know, I wish it was some other team because it always seems like Detroit is always a laughing.
Listen, I don't care about the Lions and their fans. You know, it could be worse. We could be Lions fans. I'm not going to really cry any tears over the Lions today. But I get what you're saying, Andrew. It's every single year with that squad, and I'm not taking this game as something to get excited about moving forward for the Eagles.
No, I'm not either.
I mean, those players in the locker room, you know they don't care. Like, they're happy, right? They're happy that they got out there, got a win. They're 3-5. They ran the ball. You heard in Lane Johnson, who had an incredible press conference. I appreciate the call, Andrew. You know, Lane Johnson spoke, obviously, about everything that's going on in his personal life, and he was asked a lot about it during the press conference, but he said something that Tom Alvord actually got my ear and said, wow, this is crazy. And this is not the first time Lane Johnson has spoken about this. They're like asking, they're almost begging the Nick Sirianni to run the ball more. And it's, I don't know. And that was with Doug Peterson. I've heard Lane Johnson do this before. Offensive linemen enjoy running because they get to push as opposed to just having to hold back and try to pass block. And especially when you have a young offensive line. Because Jordan Mailata, even though he got the contract, is still a very, very young left tackle in the NFL. Before Driscoll goes down, he's playing right guard. And then Nate Herbig's playing right guard. Earlier this year, when Andre Dillard was at left tackle and Jordan Mailata was at the right tackle, a position that he wasn't used to. But you have a young, inexperienced left tackle and Andre Dillard. Like, there were a lot of games this year where I go, why the hell would you not be running the ball, especially design runs, not just under center, which they finally did today, but just design runs in general so that the offensive line could get comfortable. And they didn't do it. And hopefully, with Lane Johnson back, his veteran leadership can maybe get into the mind of Nick Sirianni and influence a little bit, because you saw it with Fletcher Cox. Fletcher Cox spoke publicly, which you never see, spoke publicly about Jonathan Gannon and his defense and how his defense did not allow him to be aggressive. But not just him. He may have been speaking about himself, but a lot of his teammates as well. And you saw today Josh Sweat get a couple of sacks. Derek Barnett got his first sack in 11 games today. Younger guys, Milton Williams got a sack. Tucker got a sack late in the game. Like, all of a sudden, these guys are getting their first career sacks because they're bringing pressure. Now, again, the Lions' defense is pitiful, or the offense is pitiful. And the defense, mind you. But you saw today a different kind of look from the defense where they brought pressure. And maybe, just maybe, the veteran leadership of Fletcher Cox, could he have handled it differently? Yeah. But maybe these veterans are finally getting to the ears of Jonathan Gannon and Nick Sirianni and going, hey, listen, we know you're new here. Let us help you. We've been in this league for a long time as players. We know what works, what doesn't work. And dropping back the pass 50 times doesn't work every single week. It may work against the Kansas City Chiefs because you're trying to keep up with the Chiefs. Also, their secondary is absolute trash this year. But in a game like today where you could expose the Lions with the run, you should do it. And look, they did, and it worked. That was clearly the game plan because they were doing it early. And then we saw it last week where they did it on the opening drive against the Raiders and then completely went away from it. Today, you could tell the game plan was to continue to run the football. Now, I'm sure Sirianni didn't expect to run as much as he did. But when you get that big of a lead, you keep on doing what's working. You keep on trying to run the clock out, and it worked. It was a good day for the offense. So hopefully some of these veteran leaders on this team that have been here for a long time can continue to speak out a little bit. Maybe not publicly. That might not have been the best thing for Fletcher Cox that did, but obviously it kind of hit home. Maybe these guys could continue to speak with the coaches and make some of the things happen. Let's go to Dan in Vegas. Dan, you're on the Fanatic postgame show.
Junis, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I got you, Dan. What's up, man?
Hey, so I'm in Vegas, and I walked by. I get it. People are like, well, you're a week too late. Whatever. I'm there right now, right? And I walked by this guy wearing a Emmitt Smith jersey, and I whispered in his ear, go Birds, and he wanted to fight me.
Yeah.
I said, I have no time, and I have no time for you, and I just kept walking. Let's go, baby. E-A-G-L-E-S all day long.
All right. Well, what'd you think about the game? Oh, he dropped off. He just wanted to tell me a story that he said, go Birds to a Cowboys fan. Listen, man, I appreciate you flying the colors wherever you're at, as we all should. So I appreciate you doing that, man. So there's that. Yeah, it's nice to be able to be the ones talking a little bit of smack today. And that Cowboys fan's probably going to laugh and say, yo, dude, you did that against the Lions. But whatever. It could have been worse. It could have been the Eagles got beat up 44-6 by Detroit, but that wasn't the case today. If you want to climb into the Fanatic postgame show, you call in at 610-632-0975. So far, you've heard from a bunch of the players. They're fired up. I talked about Jalen Hurts. He clearly had a totally different tone. And that's what my point was in the very beginning. You know, we just had the caller, Andrew from Phoenixville, two callers ago. And he said, you know, I don't want to get too excited because it was just the Lions. And he's right. And that's going to be my sort of point all week long. I'm not sitting here saying this is the next step to the playoffs or this is the next step for the future. Like, I'm not coming away saying, because last week, leading up to this game, I was complaining over and over again how there hasn't even been something where I've been able to grab onto and say, this is a great sign for the future of the Philadelphia Eagles, right? I'm not even going to take away anything from this game that's going to say, hey, look at the bright future of the Philadelphia Eagles. Did I love seeing Josh Sweat get to Jared Goff twice today and the defensive line get to him when I know that that defensive front is more talented than what they've looked like all year long? Yeah, of course. But I'm not going to do that just yet because how do I know that Jonathan Gannon's not going to revert to what we saw in previous weeks next week against the Chargers? Next week's a far greater task, right? Far greater test. Justin Herbert, that offense has been fantastic this year. I'm begging you, Jonathan Gannon, absolutely begging you, and I hope he gets attacked again like he did by the media this past week when he has his availability on Tuesday. I hope he gets attacked by the media saying, hey, so now 2 weeks this season that has resulted in two wins, mind you, you've brought pressure. The first one against the Carolina Panthers and Sam Darnold, the second time just today against Jared Goff and the Detroit Lions. Like, I saw a better defensive scheme today. But I need to know, will Jonathan Gannon continue to scheme this way, or is he going to revert to his old ways again? Because I can't do that, man. I absolutely cannot do that again. And the same with Nick Sirianni. Like, I saw before it was a beatdown and they just kind of ran between the tackles the rest of the way, I saw the Philadelphia Eagles design runs. And I saw them go under center. And I saw design sweeps for Jalen Reagor, which worked. There were a couple design runs. And if he didn't fall before he got into the end zone and was down by contact at the 1 yard line, that play would have worked too. Like, he fell on his own, right? So I saw things that I've been begging for, screaming for all season long, hoping, pleading that they went to it, and they haven't done it, but they finally did it today. Now I really hope they don't revert to their old ways, because you saw it. They take care of business against Carolina, right? The defense brought pressure. And then against the greatest quarterback in the history of the NFL, Tom Brady, Jonathan Gannon decided to have soft coverage. Now, Justin Herbert is not Tom Brady, but Justin Herbert is more talented than what you saw today in Jared Goff, and the offense as a whole, the Chargers offense, is more talented than the Lions offense. You just saw last week against Derek Carr was able to throw 31 of 34. I made the joke last week that he literally was throwing pant sizes out there last week against the Eagles defense because they played such soft coverage. That can't happen next week. So am I taking anything away from today's game saying, hey, this is a bright future? No, I'm not doing that just yet. But at least we got to have some fun today. Let's go to Mike in Florida. Mike, you're on the Fanatic Postgame Show.
Hey, how's it going, Andrew?
What's up, Mike?
I guess we fertilized flowers today.
We did, man. Those roots continue to grow. Jalen Hurts even talked about roots during his press conference today. So we got roots growing, and maybe, just maybe, the flowers starting to poke through the soil a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, they're germinating. I mean, I hope for the best. I don't know what to say other than go Birds. It was nice to see a win today. That's all I could say. I got nothing else. But they ran the ball for, what, 250 yards?
So yeah, they ran the ball, and look, it worked. And maybe Jeffrey Lurie's angry, right? Because remember that story that came out of The Athletic? Jeffrey Lurie was upset when the Eagles beat the Packers because they ran the ball too many times. Well, Jeffrey Lurie, if that's the case, you should sell the team. Like, that's all.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Hey, go Birds. Thank you for your time.
Go Birds, Mike. No, thank you, man. Yeah, I mean, that's it, right? It's just, it's one of those days where you say go Birds, you say fly Eagles fly, you know, you're happy, you wear your Eagles gear tomorrow. If you don't have to wear like a suit and tie to work like me, where I can dress up in basically pajamas, I'll wear the Eagles gear tomorrow. I'm happy that they won. 3-5. I already saw tweets that they're just out of the wild card hunt. Let's not get too crazy. 610-632-0975. That's the number to climb in. Coming up, we haven't been able to hear him yet because we've heard from Dallas Goedert, Boston Scott, Jalen Hurts, and Lane Johnson, who, again, I respect and completely appreciate him taking the time to speak to the media today, and it wasn't just about the game. Obviously, this is the first time that he spoke to the media with everything that has transpired this season, and he really opened up about his battles with depression and anxiety. He talked about how he was going through withdrawal because he didn't want the medicine that the medication that he was taking to be a crutch, so he started taking himself off, which led to the withdrawal. And you know, he talked about all of it, and he didn't hold back. And you know, I thought the media was fair with their questions; nobody was hard on him. So he opened up today, and I really, really, really appreciate and respect Lane Johnson for speaking out the way that he did today. So obviously we've had all those press conferences. A lot of the players outside Lane Johnson have been fired up and talk about the game. So Nick Sirianni, we haven't played his press conference yet. That's coming your way next. You can jump in at 610-632-0975 as John from Lansdale did. We'll get to John as well on the other side. Later on this hour, we'll also do a little look around the NFL as some things did happen for the better for the Philadelphia Eagles when it comes to other scores, because I also have the draft tracker that I will give to you coming up, because even though they won today and it was fun to see a beatdown 44-6 over the Lions, we do know what the big picture is this year. And it doesn't involve postseason. It involves, collecting and stockpiling those draft picks for the upcoming 2022 NFL draft. 610-632-0975. We'll speak to Tim McManus of ESPN.com coming your way at 6:10. So a whole lot more coming up your way on the Fanatic Postgame Show.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic. Now, back to the Fanatic Postgame Show.
With Jamie Lynch and Andrew Salchunas. Presented by PropSwap.
On 97.5 The Fanatic, Philadelphia.
Yes, 5:30, 97.5 The Fanatic Postgame Show. No Jamie Lynch, he's out trick-or-treating. Sometimes I feel like he's going for himself and not even for his daughter, because Jamie loves himself some candy. And he talked about it a lot this week. So I think he's honestly getting his own candy, but I'm happy for him. I'm glad they're having a good time. And there's that. So good for Jamie. Welcome in, Fanatic Postgame Show, presented by Prop Swap. You're going to hear from Nick Sirianni in this segment. We'll get to that in a few minutes. And you can jump in at 610-632-0975. But first, I want to read a headline from Zach Berman of The Athletic, who's going to be joining the John Kincaid Show tomorrow at 8:10. Zach joins the John Kincaid Show every day after a game. I guess the rest of this year they play Sunday. So every Monday you'll hear Zach Berman at 8:10 with John Kincaid, Bob Cooney, Jamie Lynch, Pat Egan, and Coach Camille. And then he joins Anthony every Friday at 11:30. So Zach Berman put out a story on The Athletic, his post-game write-up. And here's the tweet that he put out there regarding with the link. The Eagles seemingly took every complaint levied against them and applied them on Sunday. On an offense that ran the ball, a defense that played aggressive, and a much-needed win versus the worst team in football. And that's exactly right. Like, we've been begging to run the ball more. Have we been begging to run the ball to this extent, to the percentage that you saw today? Again, just 16 pass attempts, a couple more designed passes that Hurts ended up scrambling and going for runs, but 16 pass attempts. Boston Scott and Jordan Howard alone combined for 24 rushes. Gainwell had 13, because especially the majority of them in garbage time. So that gives you 37. The 7 from Hurts gives you 44, and then the 2 from Jalen Reagor gives you 49. So 49 rushes to just 16 pass attempts, and the Reagor play where he slips and falls right before the end zone, that's technically a pass. So even though we would say that was a run, that's technically a pass. But if you would want to say, I count that as a run, then that would be 50 carries. So obviously we haven't been begging for that kind of a percentage all season long, but we've been asking for a little bit more of more balance. Or when it clearly works against the Raiders, don't go away from it, which he did. The first drive, they went downfield with ease running the ball. Design runs under center. They scored a touchdown. They go up 7-0, and then look what ended up happening. They got crushed, and they went away from the run. I'm just begging Sirianni to realize, yes, are the Detroit Lions a god-awful football team? Yes, they are. But maybe you can get some success running the football because you have a young offensive line, a young quarterback who clearly does not have patience in the pocket. And the RPOs may not always work with him. So doing some design runs where you force him to hand the ball off to a certain spot might work. And it did today. So I'm begging you, Nick, continue that. Not to the extent you did today. Not 16 passes to 49 runs. No. But, you know, a little bit more balance. Not 70-30 pass run. Maybe 60-40 or 55-45. Something like that. You clearly have talented running backs, or at least guys that can get the job done. I don't know. Do I think they're going to go on some winning streak? No, I think they might get crushed next week. It's the Chargers. They're a good football team, but who cares? Build off of something. And that's what his message has to be. He needs to find something to build off. He was talking about growing roots and growing plants and watering and fertilizing, right? He talked about that this week. Well, what you should also do to help your plant grow is what worked, build off of that. Don't revert to what hasn't been working all season long, or that plant's just going to die. It's going to shrivel up. Just like Jonathan Gannon's defense. Now, 2 weeks this season, he has brought pressure. Two of those games, they won, both of them, Carolina and now today against Detroit. Don't revert to your old ways that have led to a lot of your losses this year. And Justin Herbert's a pretty damn good quarterback. So don't let him get comfortable next week and be able to dink and dunk all day long. Oh, well, we didn't give up an 80-yard play. Okay. Well, you're giving up 9-play, 90-yard drives left and right. Don't let that happen next week. At least they got the win. Let's go to John and Lansdale before we play Nick Sirianni. John, you're on the Fanatic Postgame Show.
Hey, what's up, Chus?
How are you?
Hey, what's going on, man? I hate this game today. Because the trading deadline is Tuesday. And you know what Howie's going to do?
No. I can't, John, I can't believe that. Right? Like, I know he can't draft, but I think he's kind of smart when it comes to trading. He knows this team's not good, right? Please tell me he doesn't, John.
Please tell me. Like, man, I'm begging you to tell me. Like, there's no way, like, Jeffrey's going to be like, oh, well, we beat the Lions, to beat the brakes off him. It's insane. Like, I can't take it, man. I feel like he feels like he's in the Iguodala days where, like, the Sixers owners thought that they were going to make it to the championship. No, I don't think so,
John. I can't believe that. I mean, the Detroit Lions were 0-7
before
today.
Yeah, exactly. But, I mean, like, it's just putting down, I guess they think that they're above everyone.
I know Howie Roseman is a terrible general manager, but he can't be this dumb. He can't be that dumb to start buying. Now, I would imagine he's still a seller at the deadline, John. I really hope so.
Do you think that he's going to trade those 3-round picks for Deshaun Watson?
No, I don't think so, John. I mean, this past week there was more smoke again about him being traded. First of all, he doesn't want to come to Philadelphia. He wants to go to Miami or somewhere else.
He changed his mind, though.
Oh, yeah, that's right, because he wants to go anywhere at this point because he wants to play. But the fact that nobody's jumped on it means there's still something.
There's still something on the rug.
Yeah, so I don't think so, John. And who knows about Russell Wilson down the road? Who knows about Aaron Rodgers next year? I don't think those end up happening. John, I appreciate the call, man, as always. I don't think he's going to be a buyer at the deadline. I really don't. There's no way. And Coach Camille checks in on the text board. The Eagles beating the Lions equals Rocky beating Spider Rico. Come on, man. I hope it doesn't come off as me thinking I'm did I say anything about this being a good win, Tom? You've been here for the whole show.
I must have missed that one.
Yeah. Coach, I like the reference, but way off. I'm not acting as if. So I texted him back, Super Bowl, here we come. Because I really hope, whatever. I love you, Coach, but yeah, I don't feel good about this win at all. The Lions suck. Anyway, who cares what we think? Because I know the players in that locker room are happy, and so is the head coach, Nick Sirianni. So here's Sirianni after today's 44-6 win over the Lions.
How y'all doing?
How are you?
Good.
Nick, you guys bring the ball a lot more than what you guys have done in the past. Do you feel like this has helped you guys establish an identity now as a team?
Yeah, I think, again, we do what we need to do to win football games and what we think is best to win football games. We got some good runs early on, and when the offensive line kept coming back to the sideline saying, hey, we got a lot of momentum right here. We're pushing them up front. And so we just kept staying with it. And I thought Jalen did a good job of checking us in and out of some plays and in and out of some looks. And so, yeah, we did what we needed to do to win this football game, and it was great to see us be able to run the football like that. So it played really physical up front, and that's where it always starts right there.
How much of the running attack was pre-planned and how much then did change?
Yeah, I mean, in our openers, I mean, we had just, I mean, I can tell you this, guys, I don't mind, but the openers, our first seven plays, we wanted to have five runs and two passes on that. So we wanted to establish the run game early. We felt like we really value our offensive line and what they can do. So that's what we wanted to go out and start. We had some good play action game off of it that Jalen executed well. And so, yeah, that was definitely part of our plan to be able to go out there and run football like we did.
Why was that the plan today?
I'm sorry,
why was that the plan today?
Just what we think about going into a defense, a game. We felt like we had an advantage up front, the way they were playing some of their middle field open coverages. And so that's the main reason. Our guys up front and then some of the middle field open they were playing. Now, they pulled back a little bit on some of that middle field open. They did some pressures to try to stop it and this and that, but we had already got some momentum going on that, so that's we just kept riding it.
From a play, how long about what happened about the performance on defense and Gannon's play calling?
I'm sorry, say it again. When I can't see your guys' mouth, that's hard for me to hear you.
The performance on defense, you and Gannon's play.
Yeah, again, I mean, just what I appreciate about Jonathan is just his dog mentality in that. Like, you know, I know he's been asking a lot of questions. We've been having to answer a lot of questions. He went and did what we had to do to win that game. We put a little bit more pressure on him, and as you can see, we got to the quarterback a little bit more than we have. And so, again, it started up front there, like to lean on those guys up front. And that's, you know, at any level that you're playing, I mean, high school football, college football, pro football, if you win up front the way we went up front, you're going to be able to win football games. So it was relying on those guys there to win up front initially, and then just tightening it up in the coverage with some more man-to-man, a little bit more zone match when they give us a couple different looks to be able to still match even if we were in zone coverages.
I heard you say each week you got to do what it takes to win, whether it's based upon the defensive scheme or whatever plays your strengths, but is this formula maybe a little more what you need with Jalen?
Jeff, that's a good point, because yes, you do it that way, but you also got to do what you do well, right? And so I think that's what we're saying. Like, we're able to push some guys around, you know, up front. And so it is. It's a combination of both and. It's yes to both, right? You want to do what the defense is allowing you to do while still doing the things that you've been successful with. So, yeah, it's great. When you're able to run the football like that, it opens up everything else. Again, because I know we didn't throw for very many yards, but the play action game, the chunks that we got to Dallas, particularly in the play action game, came off of some very unique run looks that we did earlier in the game, and they had to bring the extra guy down to stop the run. And so, to answer your question, it's both. It's what you're doing well. It's what you want to continue to build on with your offense, but also what the defense is giving you. So it's a fine line, but you got to do both of those things.
Jeremy element, though, just kind of helping him a little bit.
When he's able to, again, I think Jalen's got big shoulders, and I think he's able to handle a lot. I really do. But we know that he's still in his, essentially, you can say he's still in his rookie year as far as starts goes. And so, yeah, I mean, that's going to be able to help him out. And when you're able to run it like that, it's going to create space from him in the offensive line on the play action game. So, again, we're evolving every week on offense. Again, I think that's the main thing, is that we're evolving each week on offense. We're figuring out more and more what we do well, and just evolving. And that's just the mentality of what we talk about in there, is get better every single day. That's just not a player thing. That's a coach thing. That's an everybody thing. If we all live by that and we all get better each day, then good things are going to happen.
Yeah.
I mean, I think, again, it's always going to start up front. It's always going to start up front. I think the way those guys up front were pushing it around was really good. And I think Miles would have had a big game today, too. I don't want to take anything away from Boston or Jordan because they played phenomenal games. But, you know, it started up front. And I just think they got behind their pads and they finished the job when the offensive line got the push. It was really interesting to see in the red zone those guys finish in the red zone. So you were getting this surge. We weren't blocked. There was a couple guys on the second level we weren't getting to because they had six on the line. And so we were getting such a push right there. They were just able to ride that block in there. And it's just a tribute to them of – you know, and that's just a great trip. But I do want to point out, like, what you just said right there with Boston and Jordan. Like, you wait your turn. You wait your turn. And I don't want to even say it like that. You're not where you want to be exactly on the depth chart. But inevitably in this game, there's going to be some bumps and bruises, and the next man has to step up. And I just thought they did an excellent job there. I think they've been – I think you guys asked me on Friday about Jordan and his opportunity that he might get, and I think I mentioned that, you know, he's just been such a good pro through it all, right? And Boston too, right? He's had a lot of success here in the past. And so they've just been pros. They've come to work every single day, and they were able to reap the benefits today.
You bring that up, the bumps and bruises, the guys need to step up. Nate Herbig came in, and your running game didn't suffer at all. Yeah. What does it say about a guard to come in when you pass such a run-heavy play and you're able to execute it?
Yeah, and I mean, just a tribute to how Nate prepares, right, throughout the week. And, you know, he gets to get some practice reps. We get to mix a little bit. So he gets a little bit of practice reps in there with the ones also. But he prepared himself all week just like he was starting. And that's so just a tribute to him that he was able to come in and not miss a step. The guys trust him. The guys next to him trust him. The guys behind him trust him, right? And so and then us as coaches trust him. And so I just think he did a great job stepping in for Jack's injury and just not lose a, and we didn't lose a step because of it. And you get obviously excited about that because the depth of the offensive line. Like we've had some bumps and bruises around the offensive line and this is just another example of guys stepping up and playing.
What are you talking about before, Nick, about, you know, the finding out what it is that you do well? In your experience, how long does that usually take, and are there other examples of potentially figuring out that it's not what you thought and maybe something else that you think was?
I don't think there's ever just a real timetable on it. I think it's just, you know, I don't want to say trial and error either, because we know what we want to be good at. We know, but sometimes it does take time. And I'm not saying it's never a finished product. We're not there yet, right? It's going to always be evolving. And so, again, don't want to put a timetable on. I'm just excited the way that our guys ran the football today and the way we physically dominated up front.
With Jalen Reagor early in the game, seemed to be a few more manufactured touches, a little bit more motion. Was that part of the aggressiveness because of the opponent?
Yeah.
The evolution you had to throw back to?
Yeah. Again, you know, you want to be able to steal yards in certain ways. And you can, you're not always like – you're not always able to run the gadget reverse or the jet sweep that we did. The DNs have to cooperate, right? And then you got to have certain techniques out of defensive ends. Some games you don't go in with any of those planned. The way we scouted this team and the way they were with their defensive ends, we thought that they gave us an advantage to get Jalen some touches because we want to get Jalen some touches because he's a dynamic playmaker with the ball in his hands. So, you know, we were able to steal some yards. I think I always look at it, for whatever reason, I always look at it as like stealing yards on offense when you get 10-yard gains or more on jet sweeps and arounds. And the other thing it does, and so we were able to steal, 25 yards of offense on those couple gadgets on runs. And the other thing it does is now those jet motions that you do and the next teams have to be alert for that, right? The defensive end next game might not be able to chase hard on outside zone the next game because he's up the field because he's got to be worried about the around. So it does set some things up. But again, you go into that. And so that goes back to what Jeff asked. Like, you might want to have it part of your plan, but sometimes the defense has to cooperate for it to be part of your plan as well.
Is there anything more? It's relief among the emotions after this win, Nick. I mean, the team's been under a lot of heat. You've been under a lot of heat to see them kind of respond to you guys and maybe show that what you guys are teaching is starting to.
Well, I think what we have to look at first, and I don't want to say relief, but it's round eight to us, right? Today was round eight for us, and my message to them was, hey, sometimes it just takes a big round. It takes a round where you cut somebody to, you know, in a win around to build some momentum. And so, but there was no secret to why, in my opinion, and I think for the guys, there was no secret to why we performed well today. It happened every day in practice. And I'm not saying we haven't practiced. I mean, like, what happened on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday was so, the intensity was so high. The detail was so high. It was just, again, it was just, that was our message, to continue to grow. And the only way to continue to grow is if you're going to have intensity in practice and you're going to have detail. And I think the guys locked into that, and they practiced well all week. Jalen practiced well all week. We really felt confident both offensively and defensively and special teams with how we practice. And that just gives you confidence going in, because the way you practice, I don't care what, again, what level you're at, the way you practice is going to be similar to the way you play in that game.
Last time, guys, how key was it when you're able to get pressure with just four?
Yeah, I mean, that's huge. And so you get the guys that we have up front. You know, I think obviously Josh Sweat had a great game, and Derek Barnett had a phenomenal game, and they just continue. And then when you're getting pushed up the middle with Fletch and with Hargrave, like you're just able to tighten up in coverage and have more guys back there. That's huge, right? One less guy in the secondary means one little bit more hole, right? When you bring in. Now we brought some pressures, but to be able to get pressure with your front four obviously is big, and that goes back to what we talked about with the offensive line, right? It doesn't matter what level, you win every game. You win games up front with the physicality of your team, and so. So, again, just really excited with the way our defense played. But, you know, it was one game, and we're going to enjoy this one. But round nine starts tomorrow, and we're going to need a similar performance next week from our offensive and defensive line next week when we play the Chargers.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thanks, y'all.
All right, there he is, Nick Sirianni, after the Eagles' 44-6 win over the Lions. So here's the thing. Like, I'm so happy they won to improve to 3-5. But like, you just heard him there at the end. He talked about how winning up front is so important. And he talks about how they need to do that next week against a very good Chargers team. Yeah, you're right. Well, you don't allow your offensive line to be that aggressive when you don't run the football. Again, I'm not asking for 16 passes to 49 carries like you got today. You did that because it worked and because you were then winning big, so you just started running the ball, even though for some reason I still don't get it. In the third quarter, they did three straight pass plays when they were up 24-0, but whatever. So you need to get your offensive line comfortable. Lane Johnson spoke about it today. Lane Johnson spoke about it in the past. And then don't give me this I love Jonathan Gannon's dog mentality. I had to scream during that because I won't be shocked if he reverts to the soft covers next week, like we saw after the Panthers win when he brought pressure, and then he goes to soft coverage against Tom Brady, the greatest quarterback of all time, and then he continues that against Derek Carr, who's not Tom Brady, but is a very competent NFL quarterback who can win football games. And now you're going to go up against Justin Herbert, who's better than Derek Carr, not by like, you know, leaps and bounds, but he's a better quarterback than Derek Carr. If you're just going to play soft coverage again, don't give me dog mentality. So that's why today I'm not like going nuts, like, oh, fly was fly, they beat the Lions. No, I want to see if they can continue this, you know, talk about watering and fertilizing. Maybe this can grow into something next week where you continue to try to be a little bit more balanced running the football with the, you know, pass to run option. It's not even run to pass ratio anymore. It's pass to run ratio, because passing's coming first. We know that. It's not just the Eagles. It's the NFL. But being a little bit more balanced, and then obviously bringing more pressure defensively. He talked about Jonathan Gannon's dog mentality today and the aggressiveness of the defensive players. Well, allow them to be aggressive every single week. I'm not saying dial up a blitz every single play, but you need to show the quarterback different looks, just like you need to show the opposing team's defense different looks by mixing in the run. And by mixing in different pass plays, not just screen plays every time. He also said that, you know, part of the reason why they ran the football today was because, you know, they did what they needed to do to win the football game. All right, listen, you may have known that the game plan was to run the football against the Lions, but it's going to be the game plan against other teams too. So please, please don't go away from it. Please, I am begging you. If you want to climb into the Fanatic Post Game Show, you can at 610-632-0975. I said that I was going to be going around the league this hour, but because of some of the press conferences, you know, pushing us back a little bit, I'll do that in the 6 o'clock hour. Also coming your way at the 6 o'clock hour at 610, Tim McManus will join me live from Detroit. You heard him in some of the press conferences asking some of the questions. He, of course, was in the building watching the game. So looking forward to hearing Tim's reaction to today's 44-6 win when he joins the show at 6:10. So in the 6 o'clock hour, Tim McManus, we will go around the league. And there was something that Jalen Hurts said that I want to replay coming up next hour as well, because Jalen Hurts kind of said my sentiment. And it was, you know, it's been a tough year, but you need to try to find something to be happy about. And you know that this team, they're not listening to the media right now. They don't care that we're saying it's just the Lions. They may know that it's just the Lions, but they saw some things. And Hurts mentioned it in his press conference that he has felt as if the team has been close all season long. It's been too many self-inflicted wounds. They didn't do self-inflicted wounds today. I had a caller earlier today that was shocked that it took as long as it did to get a penalty. And it was on the defensive side when Steven Nelson was charged for holding. So you know that those players are fired up. It's going to be a fun plane ride home. Sirianni even said it. Enjoy today, but you got to get ready for round nine tomorrow. Yeah, you know, he could say everything he wants. They have to do it. But today, ultimately, 44-6, just got to be happy with it. Taking it a day at a time with this team. 610-632-0975. Tim McManus coming your way next at 610, right here on the Fanatic Postgame Show.
Dog mentality.
97.5, the Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5, The Fanatic. Back to the Fanatic Postgame Show
with Jenny Lynch and Andrew Salchunas. Presented by PropSwap
on 97.5, The Fanatic, Philadelphia.
Yes, this is the Fanatic Postgame Show. 6 o'clock right here. 97.5, The Fanatic. Hope everybody is enjoying their Halloween, staying safe out there. I'm guessing the trick-or-treaters will be out there now. No Jamie Lynch today. Because of that reason, he's out trick-or-treating with his lovely daughter. So, dressed up as Woody and everything.
I'm a big Woody.
Oh, it's going to get me every time. I hope everybody's enjoying their Halloween. And fortunately, it was at least after a fun Eagles win. Because like it's not like something I'm excited about moving forward. But at least it's an Eagles win. So Jalen Hurts spoke after the game. And we played his press conference in his entirety. But the final answer that he sort of talked about, he gave a nice, long-winded answer, and he talked about stuff like roots and other plant things like Nick Sirianni touched on earlier this week, which was just awesome to talk about all week long, really. But here's Jalen Hurts after the game. This is kind of what I believe the team is feeling right now.
To every root in a relationship, you know what I'm saying, you got to have great communication. You got to have belief and trust in everybody around you, and that's something that we're getting better at, and we've grown to come closer in, and that determines success of a football team. So you know, we just want to continue to build, lean on one another, trust one another, go out there and make plays for one another, and know at the end of the day, I know I'm gonna go out there and play my butt off for the guy next to me, you know, because we put it in, we put the work in, you know what I'm saying, and we can't really be result oriented. You got to focus on the process and focus on what it takes to get there. So we've had a lot of opportunities. I've said it all year thus far. A lot of opportunities to learn from every game, good, bad, or indifferent. And we'll have that same mindset moving forward and truly coming together and continue to rise up. We just want to continue to rise up and attack everyone in front of us.
So there's a lot to sort of break down there, right? So clearly you can hear the tone, his voice, and how he's excited they won. Now, they kind of know, I'm sure they know the Detroit Lions are the worst team in football, but they're not thinking of it as the way we are, right? Where I was texting with John Kincaid earlier, and you know, he basically asked me, what's my reaction? And I said that this Detroit Lions team, and then in all caps, blows. Because they do. They're a terrible football team. But the guys in that locker room, after they had to fight hard, even though it wasn't that difficult to win 44-6, but obviously they got their bruises or their rug burns like Darius Slay got when he, or the turf burn, whatever you want to call it. Those guys fought hard. And they know that it's tough to win a football game in the National Football League. And it's tough to win on the road. So that's why a few weeks ago, when I was doing post game following the Panthers win, the Eagles win over the Panthers, I felt like a D-bag because I know there are a lot of excited Eagles fans, just like the players were thrilled that they won. But I just pointed out the facts. That was not a good game offensively. And it took until the second half to get something going, which that shouldn't happen every single week, which it seems like it does other than today. And the game-winning touchdown that Hurts has, it's not like he had a 90-yard drive, right? Remember, there was the blocked punt. But I knew for a fact that those players in that locker room did not give a damn what Andrew Salchunas was saying on the radio. They felt very happy and confident that they went into Carolina against a team that had been playing well up until that point. Are they struggling now? Are they all of a sudden 500? Yeah, but they played well up until that point. The defense was being talked about as one of the best defenses in the NFL, and they did play well that day. Carolina's defense did. But the Eagles ultimately went into Carolina and got a win. So today, as many, it's just the Lions tweets that there are. I'm sure if you searched, it's just, the Lions would pop up. Like they would finish your sentence there on Twitter. Because it is just the Lions. But the players in the locker room, I'm sure they don't feel that way. They're happy that things came together. And as Zach Berman put it, in his tweet where he put out his article, and again, you can catch Zach Berman tomorrow at 8:10 on the John Kincaid Show. He put out a story on The Athletic, and it reads as follows, the tweet that went along with it. The Eagles seemingly took every complaint levied against them and applied them on Sunday. On offense that ran the football, a defense that played aggressive, and a much-needed win versus the worst team in football. All those things that not only did we complain about as Eagles fans, the players themselves, Fletcher Cox, publicly addressed his disappointment with the defensive scheme. Like, he basically said how much he hated Jonathan Gannon's defense. And then Jonathan Gannon had to get attacked by the media on Tuesday about Fletcher Cox, and he had to do the whole, yeah, I know, Fletcher's right, which is a problem that he had to admit that his player was so right and that he was so wrong. And then he tried giving up all these BS answers about different coverages. No, you run the same stuff every single week. And what happens? They come out, they play so well defensively today that I can't wait for Tuesday's press conference with Jonathan Gannon for the guys in the media to go, hey, so are you going to continue to be a little bit more aggressive? Because the two games where you've been aggressive, it has worked, Carolina and Detroit. Does Sam Darnold stink? Yes. Do the Detroit Lions blow? Yes. But you can't help but think, all right, the two times you've brought pressure, you have won those football games, and the defense has looked good. Is it more of a product of who they're playing? Probably. But I'm sure if you just played soft coverage in the first half against Jared Goff would have been able to not pick you apart. Because even the broadcast pointed out, it's not like they have any downfield threats. They have Hockenson and Swift. They have a tight end and a running back. But they have enough where if you're playing soft coverage, they'd be able to eat you up. And Jared Goff is not, he's better than Sam Darnold. But he was able, or he was not able to do anything because they brought pressure. They weren't playing soft coverage against Hockenson. They were all over him. I mean, Marcus Epps should have been called for a pass interference in the first quarter. He wasn't, but they were all over him. So they played tough defense. So I don't know. You know, those players in that locker room, they're probably going, all right, let's build off of this. And early in that answer, he talked about communication, like any good relationship. He talked about roots. But any good relationship, there's communication. And that basically stemmed off of Fletcher Cox's comments regarding Jonathan Gannon. Lane Johnson spoke today just brilliantly about what he's been going through, but he also talked about the running game today and said that they've been asking to run the ball more. So maybe that communication with the veteran players, not Kenneth Gainwell, Jalen Reagor, Devontae Smith, but no, the veterans, Fletcher Cox, Lane Johnson. Clearly, Miles Sanders didn't have a voice in this locker room before getting hurt because I'm sure he wanted to run the ball more, and they didn't. But guys like Jason Kelce, hopefully their veteran voices can help this team. I'm not saying completely change their identity. I mean, just 2 weeks ago, Nick Sirianni said they don't have an identity yet, which is just ridiculous. But maybe they can mold something into a more competitive offense and a more competitive defense. You can climb in at 610-632-0975. We'll be joined by Tim McManus in a few minutes. He'll join the Fanatic postgame show at 610. Looking forward to hearing his thoughts on the Eagles' 44-6 win over the Lions. Also, later this hour, before we get out of here, Hunter Brody, by the way, coming your way next. He'll be on from 7 until 10. We will look around the NFL and sort of update you on some of the other scores, teams inside the division, teams inside the conference. I already saw a tweet about, hey, they're not too far out of the wild card. Now, I don't think that person was being serious, but yeah, I guess you can say they're there, but come on, let's not fool ourselves. So I'll give you some of the final scores from the 1 o'clock games, the updated scores in the 4 o'clock games. And of course, most importantly, in my mind, the 2022 current NFL draft order, because there are three picks owned by the Philadelphia Eagles that are currently inside the top 10 because of how things transpired for the Eagles today and the teams that hold on to those picks that the Eagles actually own. But let's head to the Comcast Business Hotline. Every day in business is a big day. Let Comcast Business keep you ready for what's next. We head out to Detroit from ESPN.com. You, of course, can hear him every single Wednesday on the Mike Missanelli Show. You hear him every week during the pregame show with Devon Givens and Derek Gunn, who do a tremendous job. And you hear him with myself, Andrew Salchunas, during the Fanatic postgame show. Tim, what's going on, man? How was that raucous crowd of like 50 people inside that stadium today?
Come on, man. There had to have been at least 100.
Yeah, and a couple of them were wearing the bags over their heads. I don't know if you saw the Fox broadcast at all, but the bagged Detroit Lions fans are back, man.
A Detroit tradition unlike any other.
Yeah.
It's tough, man. I mean, you know, Eagles fans have been going crazy, and rightfully so, and things have been bad the past couple of years, but as we see here, it could always be worse.
Yeah, it could always be worse. But Tim, I'm going to guess you're kind of feeling like myself and really every Eagles fan when you kind of had the words, "It's just the Lions," come out from you today after watching the Eagles win.
Yeah, I mean, so I think I've been fluctuating between kind of two thoughts, and one of them is just that it's the Detroit Lions, and people can't get too overhyped by what they saw on the field, because this is not only an injured Lions team, but, you know, a pretty inept one right now. And so how much can you really pat yourself on the back, or how much can the Eagles legitimately take from this win? But the other thought that's kind of countering that is, you know, the Lions have been pretty competitive this year. You know, they've taken some good teams to the brink. And so what does it mean when the Eagles come in and just absolutely steamroll them? So I kind of feel like somewhere in between lies the truth that, yes, it was a very bad Lions team that the Eagles squashed today. But the other side of that is, you know, they showed a little something. I think that they showed a little bit from a coaching staff perspective. Like they showed that they're actually malleable and willing to fix things. And I feel like the team showed that they're ready to put up a fight, whether it's for themselves or for these coaches, and that you actually can take some positives from here, that you can move forward, even if it was against Detroit.
Here's my one concern, Tim, and I know you typically travel with a crystal ball in your suitcase, so I don't know if you brought it to the stadium or not, but I got to ask you, do they continue to try to build off these things? Because what I've seen so far this year is two games where the Eagles' defense brought some pressure led by Jonathan Gannon and his play calling, and that was against Carolina and then against the Detroit Lions today. But in between, there's been a couple of games where you decide to play soft coverage against the greatest quarterback of all time in Tom Brady. Derek Carr was thrown pant sizes last week. He went 31 of 34 against the Eagles defense, and he faced literally zero pressure all day long. So, yeah, I saw good things out of this Eagles team as well, and I saw some good things out of the coaching staff running the football and bringing pressure defensively. But do you believe that this coaching staff will continue to build off those things, or could we see them revert back to their other ways that haven't been good this year?
Man, they have to prove it, first of all, Andrew. I mean, you know, what Sirianni said during the post-game press conference is that they were having that success early in the ground game, right? And so the offensive linemen were coming up to him on the sidelines and they're like, look, we're getting a lot of push here. We got to stick with it. And he took and stuck with it. And it worked very well. Now, what happens when, you know, they get some resistance early on in the game? Does he go back and revert back to the way that he was going for much of the first 7 weeks? I mean, that's kind of the fear. But at the same time, you know, in those post-game press conference, notes, he was saying that he recognizes that the way that they're playing, both offensively and defensively, was playing to the respective side of the ball's strengths, and that's along the defensive front. Like, if you think about going into the year, like, okay, what's good about this team? Well, they have one of the better offensive lines in the game, which means that they could control the line of scrimmage in theory, but you have to do that with a steady dose of the run game. And on defense, the defensive line was supposed to be like the big strength of the team, and yet they've been playing so passively on defense, with the safeties playing 50 yards back and the linebackers kind of following suit, no blitzes, no types of stunts, pressures, those kind of things, that, you know, the quarterbacks are just playing pitch and catch over the middle of those dink and dunks, and right. You don't even have a chance to let the defensive line get home. And so, you know, just fundamentally, these coaches were doing the absolutely wrong things to accentuate the strengths of this team. It took them almost a half a season to figure it out. That's on them, dude. That's like borderline malpractice, the way that they were going about their business. But it looks like they recognized, at least for a week, what it takes to, you know, to be playing at this team's optimum. And it's hard to believe that they wouldn't take some lessons from that and apply it moving forward.
Speaking of Tim McManus on the Comcast Business Hotline, were you surprised when the inactives list came out today and Eric Wilson, a guy that they brought in to try to help solidify what was an awful linebacking crew last year, and it hasn't been good this year either, but were you surprised that he was a healthy scratch today?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, it tells me that, you know, he's getting shopped. I mean, it tells me that there's a good chance that the Eagles are looking around as this Tuesday trade deadline approaches, and maybe Wilson is one of those names that could be on the move. I mean, it's not like he was really deserving of a lot of playing time. He came in as the primary linebacker, the one that they thought could be the three down backer. But you have seen over the past 3 weeks leading into this game that his snaps have really been cut down drastically to where now he was playing like 22%, 24% of the snaps. And I think he really fits the criteria, kind of like Joe Flacco and Zach Ertz before him. Both of those guys get moved, where he's not somebody that's in the long-term plans. They feel pretty good about the people behind them, the linebackers in this case, behind Wilson, and he's on a one-year deal. So those are the type of people that, you know, Howie Roseman would be more eager to move and feel okay about it. So seems to me, I mean, put my antenna up like, okay, maybe they're shopping Eric Wilson.
Speaking of the NFL trade deadline, Tim, I already had a caller earlier today that was panicking because the fact that the Eagles won 44-6, he has so little faith in Howie Roseman that he believes that a win like today will change Howie Roseman's mind into being a buyer as opposed to a seller. So, Tim, could you calm down that caller, John? And other names that you might see on the move, I mean, was today a day where a guy like Jordan Howard or Boston Scott could have been showcased a little bit?
That's an interesting thought, although I think they would like to keep, you know, some semblance of the ground game, especially if Miles Sanders is put on IR. So I don't know if it's that smart of an idea to get rid of those backs right now. We got to obviously at least keep one of those guys in tow. I don't think the Eagles are going to go crazy off of a Detroit win and suddenly turn into like hardcore buyer mode. But, you know, Adam Schefter right on 97.5 this week raised the prospect of them being buyers to a degree if it fits kind of the long-term plan. I think that you see some of the issues along the defensive front in particular when it applies to what Gannon is trying to do long-term. Like, he's got guys that are playing sort of out of position. You know, Fletcher Cox has complained about it. Ryan Kerrigan is a guy that's been playing out of position by and large. Josh Sweat at times. They don't have a pure nose tackle, which they kind of need when they go into that hybrid 3-4. And so I wouldn't be shocked if they try to acquire somebody along those lines to make the pieces fit a little bit better from a scheme perspective. But then if we're going on the other side of guys who they could part with, I mean, Kerrigan, as I just said, seems like he's playing out of position, hasn't been very productive. Is there anybody that would be interested in acquiring him where he would be a better fit? You know, so that's kind of where my mind's at, is like a Kerrigan, obviously Andre Dillard, Wilson, like those are the names that pop into my mind as potential moving targets.
If you're Howie Roseman, though, and listen, it's one thing for fans and sports radio to be talking about a guy being on the hot seat like Jonathan Gannon, who, let's face it, has had a subpar season this year, but I thought he coached a good game plan today. You talked about maybe trying to make some moves to help this scheme for Jonathan Gannon and also make moves moving for the future. Would you do anything like that if you could potentially move on from the defensive coordinator after this season? Like, would it even be worth giving up anything to bring in a player to try to fit a system that might change after this calendar year?
I mean, it's a fair point. It's a fair point. I don't know that the owner is at that place where he's thinking it's a one and done. I mean, certainly the frustrations have been running high here, and the signs that the coaching staff had shown to this point were definitely troubling. So you probably weigh all that sort of stuff. But if you have the inclination that your guys are going to stay, or you think that it's a good philosophy moving forward, to have a nose tackle, say, that's when you do it. But it's a fair point, and I think that you balance all those things as you're weighing the moves. You certainly don't go crazy and overinvest in order to acquire a piece, to your point that, maybe it's a moving target after all.
Last one for you, Tim, and I appreciate you taking the time. Make sure you check out Tim's stuff on ESPN.com. I'm going to ask you this question just because it's been a few weeks since you and I have been able to talk post-game, but 8 weeks into the season now, if you were to sort of digest this team, right, you do the quarter poll. We did that after week four. Now we're pretty much at the midway point, even though there's 17 games now. How would you evaluate the Eagles, especially under first-year head coach Nick Sirianni?
Well, in one sense, Andrew, it's like at the start of the year, you told me that they were 3-5. I would be like, yeah, that sounds about right. I thought I was probably slightly more bullish than some people. I thought they could get, somewhere in the 7-8 win mark. We knew that the first half of the schedule was more challenging than the second, and that things basically starting this week kind of open up for them and get a little bit easier, and they have the easiest finishing schedule in the NFL. So that's one part of it. And then once you kind of get into the roller coaster ride and you get into the blow by blow, week by week, it felt pretty concerning there for a while. And let's see if it sticks, but I thought that this was an important game for this coaching staff in particular, for the fact that, the team did seem to show some fight. I mean, there was a level of resilience here. You didn't know which way it was going to go after that Las Vegas loss, 5-6. And it's like, okay, are they just going to, Fletcher Cox calling out the coaches and the whole thing.
Right.
Ron McLeod's like challenging his players. Like, are you committed? They're like, is this going to go in the tank? And so what we can at least say is that they didn't go in the tank on this coaching staff, at least not yet. That there has been concern raised over this first half of the season. And then also here and there, some spots of hope. So I think it's still very much TBD as to what this coaching staff and what this team is going to look like moving forward. But when you have a resounding win like this, it at least kind of stops the bleeding for a little bit. It stabilizes the locker room a little bit and gives them a chance to kind of reset and have some optimism for the second half of the season moving forward.
That's great stuff as always, Tim, man. I appreciate it. Make sure you follow Tim on Twitter @Tim_McManus. Tim, we'll read your stuff on ESPN.com. Next time I hear from you, we'll be on Wednesday on the Mike Missinelli Show.
All right, brother. Look forward to it. Talk to you soon.
Thanks, Tim. There he is. Tim McManus on the Comcast Business Hotline. Every day in business is a big day. Let Comcast Business keep you ready for what's next. Absolutely love talking to Tim every chance I get during the post-game show. A lot of stuff to digest there. Tuesday's the NFL trade deadline. And he sort of touched on what Tom Alvord said at the beginning of the show. Tom's producing the show today, that win wasn't a must-win in terms of records or anything, but it was good for maybe morale in the locker room because it was ugly last week between what Fletcher Cox was saying. Tim just mentioned Ronnie McLeod calling out the locker room. You had Nick Sirianni talking about growing plants. Like, there was all kinds of stuff, and it was not a fun week leading up until this game against the Detroit Lions. Now, is this a game where we should get excited about moving forward? No, I wouldn't. Tim sort of talked about how there's some things they could grow on from today. My biggest question is, will they? And not because of talent or lack thereof on the team. I mean, literally, will the coaches revert back to what they were doing that wasn't working? Because they've done that already. They showed a very good game plan against the Carolina Panthers defensively, and since then went back to playing soft coverage against Tom Brady and Derek Carr. They didn't do that today against Jared Goff. But will they go back to that soft coverage against Justin Herbert, which would be a terrible mistake? We'll find out next week. So I'm not overly excited right now, but at least we got to see them win the football game, and I know that locker room's pumped up. I will give you the look around the NFL. There's a game going on right now on the TV that I have in front of me. I am shocked with how it's being played out. I can't believe it, especially with an injury to a starting quarterback. But I'll give you all the scores coming up, and I'll also give you the updated draft order for the Eagles, because that's probably the biggest storyline that we'll be following all season long. You can climb in at 610-632-0975. I'm Andrew Salchunas, and this is the Fanatic Postgame Show.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic. Now, back to the Fanatic Postgame Show
with Jenny Lynch and Andrew Salchunas. Presented by PropSwap
on 97.5 The Fanatic, Philadelphia.
Yes, Fanatic Postgame Show presented by PropSwap. No Jamie Lynch today. He is taking care of business, doing some trick-or-treating. I hope he brings you some candy tomorrow as an apology as to why I was doing postgame by myself. Just kidding. I hope he's having a good time. Tom, you're like 12, right? So you're gonna go trick or treating afterward. Yeah,
I'm 12 years old. I'm going trick or treating. Yes,
you're gonna go get some candy.
Both of those are true.
I'm gonna guess because you have the straight up mustache right now. Were you Minshew yesterday, or are you something mustache related though?
Brooklyn.
Reno 911.
No, so I don't know if you watch Always Sunny. I was Nightman from Always Sunny.
Oh, were you?
And my girlfriend was Dayman.
That's awesome.
I'll show you a picture. It was pretty good, but
wow.
No, I do Movember every year. I've done it for like 4 years.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so.
So you're just getting started early?
Yeah, why not?
Okay. All right, you're getting a head start to beat the competition. That's good work out of you. That's a great costume, Nightman and Dayman. That's fantastic. I'm going to go around the NFL in a second to update you on all the scores, but let's get to a couple of phone calls first. Let's go to my man Dave in Center City. What's up, Dave?
Yeah, long time no speak, guy.
You will be hung up immediately if you think the Eagles are going to win like six straight.
Hold that thought. Hey, I broke out my Andrew Salchunas costume, Hollywood handsome Andrew.
Yeah.
The girls are going to be swarming all over me.
Where'd you find that? Clearance rack at a Kmart?
No, that's funny. So, the girls are going to be swarming all over me at my Halloween party tonight. If you're free, shoot by Dorchester Suite 2801. Love to have you.
All right, I'll be there.
Thank you, cousin. You know, McManus made some sense. If the Eagles coaching staff has finally caught on, okay, now, it was formulated. The Eagles have the easiest, and that was including Detroit, the easiest schedule remaining of the 10 games.
Yes.
Okay? Mm-hmm. Now, logic suggests that they're not going to go 9-1. Dave from Center City had them finishing 11-6.
Uh-huh.
Logic suggests they're not, but Andrew, where in the schedule? I mean, all of a sudden, Mike White at the Jets looks like Tom Brady.
Yeah, he does. He looked good today.
That's why you don't bet football.
Right. Yep.
But can you imagine if they stubbed their toe playing the Jets?
No, I could though, and it has nothing to do with Mike White. It's because the Eagles aren't better than the Jets.
Yeah, where do you got the football club going from here, brother? I think they got a bird's eye view on number two or number three wild card spot.
No, Dave, did you start drinking at your party yet?
I started drinking last night before the party.
Well, you enjoy yourself today, man. Stay safe because the Eagles are not getting into a wild card spot. I always love Dave's optimism when it comes to, the Eagles. AJ, I love you. I see your tweet. She goes, Dave's slurring. Don't go to the party. Yeah, no, I wasn't gonna go to the party. Regardless, I just want to go home.
Did he give out his home address? Did I hear that right?
I think he did.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. So if anybody wants to go to Dave from Center City's house, he should go back in the podcast because he did give it out. Have fun, Dave. Listen, I'm happy the Eagles won today, too, but there's... And Tim was right. There were things that happened today, and I keep on reading the tweet from Zach Berman, where he attached his link to his story, his post-game write-up for The Athletic, where he talked about, you know, a team that had been, we've been begging from them to run the ball more and to be more aggressive defensively. They did both of that today. But they also did that against the Carolina Panthers, and then 2 weeks in a row against the Buccaneers and the Raiders, they went away from that stuff, the stuff that worked. And it's not like he had a game plan against Tom Brady that I went, oh, that looked good. It didn't work. No, it was, hey, Tom Brady struggles with interior pressure, or struggles to Tom Brady's extent, right? He's still the greatest quarterback of all time. But if you can bring pressure up the middle, you can bother Tom Brady. Tom Brady is not a mobile quarterback whatsoever. So if you bring some extra pressure from the outside, it's not like he's going to dance away from it, right? So you collapse on the interior, you bring in a cornerback blitz every once in a while, or you bring a safety up in the box, or you have a linebacker come around the edge. Whatever. Make Tom Brady uncomfortable as much as you can in the pocket, because he loves standing in the pocket. He doesn't really roll out all that much. Instead, Jonathan Gannon, who is getting paid to be a defensive coordinator in the NFL, and is not Andrew Salchunas speaking on the radio, who plays Madden, he just decided to go soft coverage all game. And that greatest quarterback of all time that gets talked about all the time picked you apart. So today, you bring pressure. And I will applaud him. Well, no, I don't even want to applaud him, because we've only been asking him for a week. Like, Eagles fans are smarter than Jonathan Gannon right now. Am I saying bring eight every single play? No. But you got to give different looks to a quarterback. NFL quarterbacks are good football players. They don't have to be Tom Brady to be able to get comfortable when you're rushing four every single play, right? Offensive lines get comfortable when you're rushing four every play, because they're not even looking for that other blitz. So I don't understand this defensive coordinator at all, which is why I can't go, yeah, he's going to build off of today's game, because he could have built off of the Carolina game, but he didn't. So I'm sorry, Dave. I don't see, I don't see wild card spots coming for the Eagles anytime soon. Before I get to Jamie, who actually, you know what? He's in Detroit, so let me hear from Jamie. What's up, Jamie? What's going on, man? You're on the Fanatic Postgame Show.
How you doing, Andrew?
What's up, man? Are you leaving the game?
I'm driving. I'm on my way back home, so I'm already in Ohio.
Oh, wow. Okay. How was it?
But the game was okay. I think it was a half-empty stadium.
Yeah.
The Detroit fans that are there are loyal. But it was such a hard game to watch on both sides. Even as an Eagles fan, I mean, I love watching the Eagles sort of just, you know, keep scoring and just play as well as they did. But it was also like watching the Eagles on the other side of the ball as well, because I watched the same mistakes that we made in previous weeks that Detroit was making over and over again. Like, hey, they kick a field goal, and, oh, hold on, we lined up wrong, and we lined up under center, and now we got a 15-yard penalty, and we got another first down. So, like, they couldn't get off the field ever. We were getting those third and longs where we don't normally get them, and we normally give them up. So it was like watching the Eagles against the Eagles.
Yeah, it was refreshing, Jamie. I put out a tweet today. Let's see, it was at 1:58, so I would imagine that's at some point in the second quarter. And I put out the following: feels good to watch the other team commit penalties, drop must-catch passes, allow sacks. Also feels good to watch my team run the ball, show some creativity on offense, bring pressure, and get home to the quarterback, because that's exactly what happened today. We've been dealing with it all week. This season sucked so far, being an Eagles fan. And you have seen countless mistakes on both sides of the ball. And you're right, it was nice to see it on the other team for once.
Exactly. And it kind of made me a little bit more excited for the rest of the season. I know that we have a really tough game coming up against the Chargers, but I'm a little bit more excited to get to go out to Denver, which you might be now too, because at least we're not 2-6 and just lost to Detroit, you know, where we're at 3-5.
Yeah, I mean, I can't. Are you going with Philly Sports Trips, or you just heading out?
Absolutely. I'm going with Philly Sports Trip, so I'm going to be on that plane with you.
Oh, I can't wait, Jamie. Well, I can't wait to have a beer with you out in Denver, man. Enjoy the – have a safe trip back from Detroit. I credit you for going out there. Yeah, the fans that are there that were Lions fans, they must be the loyal fans because why else would you be going to games at this point if you're a Lions fan? But yeah, can't wait for the trip to Denver. Even if they are, you know, 3-6 or 3-7 or whatever, I'm just excited to be out there hanging out with fellow Eagles fans. I get what he's saying, right? Like at least it makes him excited moving forward. I was excited after the Carolina game. Did I think it was an ugly game? Yeah, but I thought it was something that they as a locker room could build off of, and Jonathan Gannon could build off of as a defensive coordinator, but then he reverted back to his other stuff. Now, somebody disagrees with me regarding Jonathan Gannon. Let's go to Brian in Plymouth Meeting. What's up, Brian?
Yo, Andrew.
How are you?
I'm fine. I grew up watching Buddy Ryan. I want constant pressure on the quarterback, but I can't understand how you can say that you don't understand what Jonathan Gannon's doing. What is Tom Brady's lifetime quarterback rating against the blitz? He crushes teams that blitz. What he's clearly trying to do with bad talent is to bend but don't break against really good quarterbacks that would
crush. Yeah, but here's my mindset on it, Brian. I get what you're saying with numbers and everything, but when your team is as bad as it is when it comes to personnel, right, and we can all agree, no matter whether they're blitzing or playing soft coverage or Tampa 2 or you name it, the personnel on this defense isn't good outside of Darius Slay and at some points Fletcher Cox.
Are a massive
problem. Oh yeah, they're terrible, man. I mean the linebackers are awful, but I would rather not play Ben Don't Break against Tom Brady. Honestly, dude, I'd rather just go all out, man. And clearly you saw that it didn't work.
Oh well look, I agree with you, but again, I can't understand, like it is clear what he's trying to do. What he's trying to do is live to fight another day, give the offense a chance to score.
Yeah, but then how did it work against Derek Carr? You know what I mean? He went 31 of 34.
He would pick apart a blitz too because he would have guys running open.
Yeah, but he was picking apart not blitzing. Like at some point, I'm also talking about in-game adjustments. Like they made no in-game adjustments.
Look, I'm just saying give the guy a little bit of a honeymoon period instead of negatively, you know, just ripping everything. I have no idea what Jonathan Gannon is bringing to the table. I've got a negative perception of Sirianni, but again, I'm willing to at least give the guys enough rope to hang.
Why? I'm honestly asking, why is it just because of the personnel? Because the personnel is terrible. Yeah, no, I'm with you.
Why don't I like Sirianni?
No, Gannon. No, I'm saying, why are you giving him more time?
Well, because I think that just in the scheme of the team, he's trying to give them a chance, like a very low probability chance to win a game by not giving up 80-yard touchdowns right off the bat.
Right. Well, so let me ask you, and listen, I was one of the only people that, I'm not saying defending him, like going to my grave with it, but I was one of the only people that was kind of in support of Jim Schwartz. Did you like Schwartz's style of defense?
I did not. But his style of defense was great for the personnel that they had in 2017.
Right, in 2017, but in recent years, it was the bend that don't break.
Yeah, so I didn't like that. I would rather put him at the line, put pressure on all the time. I was like, that's what I want to see. But A, it's kind of unrealistic with the current rule situation, and B, you couldn't play that way with it.
Yeah, I mean, listen, my thing is, Brian, I appreciate the call, man. Have a nice rest of your Sunday. Happy Halloween. I have not been impressed at all by Jonathan Gannon. I was impressed with how he schemed up the defense against Sam Darnold and the Carolina Panthers. I think Sam Darnold also had a pitiful game that day, but they at least brought pressure and they gave him different looks. You might be right about Tom Brady's stats against the blitz, but I can also tell you that Tom Brady sitting there with absolutely no fear in his mind about getting hit, being the best quarterback of all time with all those weapons he has offensively, you know, being able to dink and dunk with Antonio Brown and Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, you got to do something else because it just wasn't working. The only time you slowed them down a little bit was because they themselves just got bored of playing against the Eagles defense. So, I don't know. Listen, numbers are numbers. I get it. But this defense, I'll say it again, the two games where they've at least looked like a somewhat professional football team defensively, has been the games where they've given different looks and have not just been sitting there. And Mike English tweets that no honeymoon period. Rip, I don't know if it's rip everyone or rest in peace at everyone. Listen, I've never been a fire this guy after 1 year person except for Gabe Kapler, because I just didn't think it was going to work in Philadelphia. And look, hey, he won 107 games with the San Francisco Giants this year, but I just didn't think it was going to fit in this city. I really didn't. His own players were laughing at him like Bryce Harper. I think there was something magical this year in San Francisco that I don't think he's going to be able to repeat, but we'll see. But Jonathan Gannon, I've given him weeks and weeks and weeks, and he hasn't changed. He looked good today. He did. He called it a good game, but I'm not going to sit here and give him some standing ovation for doing something that we've been begging to see, really, all season long. All right, so the other scores around the NFL. So the 1 o'clock games, the Carolina Panthers, who the Eagles beat earlier this year, they beat the Falcons, who the Eagles also beat earlier this year. So Falcons lose 19-13 to Carolina. Carolina improves to 4-4 this season. The Buffalo Bills, this one was crazy. They win 26-11 over the Miami Dolphins, which we'll get to that in a second. That's important. It was 3-3 in the third quarter. I thought the Bills were going to put up like 40 points in this game, but they eventually win 26-11, but it was dicey at one point. Another game that we'll touch on a little bit more, the Tennessee Titans beat the Indianapolis Colts in overtime 34-31. I'll explain all kinds of stuff that happened late, which is ridiculous. I mean, this was actually a pretty crazy week. It's the one downside to doing postgame. Now, obviously, the Eagles are 1 o'clock, so I'm not going to be watching the other 1 o'clock games, but the one downside is I have to be so invested where you're taking notes and then you obviously miss the 4 o'clock games. The Mike White-led New York Jets beat the Bengals today 34-31. I was telling people to lay the 10.5 because that was the line with the Bengals as the favorites, 10.5 points, because I thought Joe Burrow was going to pick apart that defense, and I didn't think Mike White was going to throw a touchdown pass, let alone three. He throws for 405 yards today, 37-45, three touchdowns and two interceptions. So the New York Jets improved to 2-5. Bengals fall to 5-3. So pretty wild game in the 1 o'clock. The Steelers upset the Cleveland Browns, a pick that I actually gave on Friday on the midday show with Anthony Gargano, because I just didn't think Case Keenum was going to have back-to-back decent weeks, especially against a decent Steelers defense. Is the Steelers offense pretty much dead? Yeah, but they're able to do enough to score against the Browns. The Rams take care of business against the Texans. They win 38-22. The 49ers beat the Bears 33-22. So that's your 1 o'clock games. Of course, the Eagles win 44-6. Currently going on your 4 o'clock slate, the Patriots are beating the Chargers. Chargers coming here next week to take on the Eagles. So I kind of hope the Chargers win so that they don't have the coming off a loss game against the Eagles, because that could get ugly. Seahawks making easy work of the Jaguars, winning 24-0. So Urban Meyer, there's a great costume that I saw this week. Somebody had a blow up sex doll, let's just be honest, taped onto the guy's body, and the guy was dressed as Urban Meyer, so that was pretty awesome. The Saints somehow, it's getting closer, somehow beating the Buccaneers 23-21. They're heading into the fourth quarter. We were just talking about Tom Brady with the last caller, Brian. 23-21, the Saints winning. And this after Jameis Winston left the game early with an ugly knee injury. Trevor Siemian is actually playing decent, 10 of 19 passing, 107 yards and a touchdown. I thought at one point, I got the TV on, obviously I'm doing the show, I saw somebody for the Bucs fumble the ball and went to the end zone. Saints recovered, but it looked like something got overturned. Again, I'm not really locked in because I have it on the background. So the Buccaneers caught a break because they eventually then scored on that drive. So just a 2-point game in New Orleans. So the Tampa Bay Buccaneers trying to make a little bit of a comeback there. And the Washington football team currently tied at 10 with the Denver Broncos. Eagles will, of course, be seeing the Broncos in a few weeks, 2 weeks from now, when they travel to Denver. So that's what's going on right now. 8 o'clock tonight, your Sunday night matchup. Dallas Cowboys taking on the Minnesota Vikings. And then tomorrow, the Chiefs, who I'm still waiting who the poor soul will be that loses to the Kansas City Chiefs, because the Chiefs have been a mess so far this year. I'm going to guess it might be the New York Giants, because the Giants are just awful. Joe Judge is a bad coach, as I keep on saying. So this might be the week where Kansas City goes off for like 50 points, and it might be against a pretty bad team in the New York Giants. So I talked about it earlier. Wild, wild finish, Tennessee and Indianapolis. I started the postgame show already at that point because their game was not done. Their game went into overtime. Carson Wentz, Frank Reich took the fall for it, but whatever. Carson Wentz feels pressure and then puts the ball in his left hand, throws a pass left-handed, which was intercepted for a touchdown. Then somehow, there was only a minute plus left. So Carson Wentz is an idiot, throws it left-handed, gets pick-sixed, and then somehow is able to drive downfield to tie the game. They go to overtime, and then Carson throws an interception in overtime. He throws it in about triple coverage when he had two guys wide open for a first down, and they were driving up until that point. He had two guys wide open. All they needed to do was kick a field goal at that point because Tennessee already had the ball the first time to start the overtime. And he throws that terrible pass, which is intercepted. Titans eventually kick a field goal to win it, to win 34-31. But the best news from that game is Carson Wentz again played 100% of the snaps. They lost, and I know a lot of people are saying, well, if they continue to lose, they're going to bench him so they don't lose that first-round pick. Well, here's the thing. Mike White's not going to throw 400 yards again. The Colts play the Jets next week in Indianapolis on Thursday Night Football, and then they play the Jacksonville Jaguars, who we know are a mess. So that's two more games. You would imagine two more wins for the Colts. That would put them at 5-5 on the year. And then obviously they have a tough schedule after that with the Bills and the Buccaneers. But if he plays five more games, that's what the math everyone is saying. If he plays five more games at 100% of the snaps in each of those games, we will reach that 75% mark. Not the 70% mark in the playoffs, the 75% mark, which if he does that, the Eagles get that first round pick. The following week after the Buccaneers game is a game against the Texans, so the Colts should win that one. So maybe Indianapolis thinks they're still in playoff contention. So we'll see what happens with that draft pick. I don't think it's going to go away. I think they still end up getting that first round pick. The other game that was important to us Eagles fans, the Miami Dolphins, I talked about, is wild. It's 3-3 game heading into the third quarter with the Buffalo Bills. Bills end up winning 26-11. So as of right now, it's going to change, especially if the Colts start winning some more games. But as of right now, if you look at the 2022 NFL draft order through eight games, the Eagles currently hold on to the second overall pick, which is the Dolphins pick, which is why that loss to the Bills was so important. And if the Lions won, the Eagles would be with the number one overall pick. But that's okay. The Miami Dolphins, second overall. The Eagles, their own pick is ninth overall, and then the pick that they will get from Carson Wentz and the Indianapolis Colts, if Wentz plays at least 75% of the snaps, whether they make the playoffs or not, that is currently the 10th overall pick. So right now, the 2022 NFL draft, the Eagles hold on to three top 10 picks, numbers 2, 9, and 10, which if there's something to be excited about, that's definitely one of them. So I'm done. Fanatic postgame show. Tom Alvord produced. Thank you so much. It was a good time today. Heard from a lot of the players. Heard from Dallas Goedert, Boston Scott, Lane Johnson. Incredible the way he spoke about everything going on. So there's that. It may not have been an incredible game, even though we're happy that they won. I'm not getting excited thinking playoffs, even though Dave from Center City just called in saying that they could still reach that second or third wild card spot. Dave, I hope you enjoy your Halloween party today. Hunter Brody, he's coming your way next. He'll take you until 10 o'clock, continuing the reaction to the Eagles' 44-6 win over the Detroit Lions. I'll be back tomorrow with Anthony Gargano, 10 o'clock on the Midday Show. And, of course, we kick things off at 6 a.m. with the John Kincaid Show. Everybody, enjoy the rest of your night. Stay safe. Everybody who's driving, be careful because of the trick-or-treaters out there. Those of you who will be partaking in trick-or-treating with your little ones, or if you just want some candy, have fun. Everybody have a great rest of your Sunday afternoon and Sunday evening. I'm Andrew Salchunas, and this is the Fanatic Postgame Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.